do something for Canelo Triple G weekend. It's a big weekend. You know, invite them out, birthday weekend.
Invite who out exactly?
Son.
Canelo Triple G weekend. Bruh.
Like that Saturday.
I'm trying to do some other shit. You know how many fighters is going to be here? It's going to be crazy that weekend.
Right, so imagine getting all the fighters on the paintball court.
I'm really not trying to get hurt.
Yeah, but who
that
else is
shit hurts. So I go back to that.
They say somebody died.
Doing what?
Shooting paintball.
Gordito says someone died playing paintball.
Where?
I don't know.
I mean, you know, I know what happened there, but I'm going to tell you this. You need, like, overalls, right? What's that shit called, like, a whole...
I ain't worried about the gear.
Because you got all your army shit.
Yeah, I still took some of that shit. And I, because of the weight loss, I could fit most of my shit again. All of it, but...
But them army pants ain't... That shit ain't helping no paintball. I mean, it's decent, but, you know, I could buy a pair of army pants.
I mean, yeah, you can. Yeah. But no, I mean, I definitely got the tactical shirts.
What? With like?
The built-in padding.
Oof.
Yeah.
We XL, baby, me and you. I know you got more than one. Don't come with that bullshit. We got a shit. Shout out to me officially, what, 29 or 19?
219, down 41.
19. Bro, I know.
And to be fair, I'm going to throw this out there. I weighed myself. I had just got done eating, kicking it at my boy spot.
Okay.
And it wasn't like a challenge, but, you know, the last couple months we last saw each other, we talked shit on the weight loss because he's been on the weight loss journey himself. And I'm like, you're not fucking with me. So then now I get to see him in person, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you for sure not fucking with me. Like, in a way, I'm like, you for sure not. So he got the scale out. But we had just got done eating some shrimp, steak, chicken quesadillas, bro.
Crazy.
But still down 41 pounds nonetheless.
So I feel like I might have been 219 with you, which is crazy. Because I weighed myself in Florida, and I was 225, which I was proud of. Because the lowest I've been as a full-blown, mature adult is 217, and I was working hard in 20. It was like 2017 for the Border Wars in L.A., and I was working hard. I was running. I can't believe I'm at 225 with zero running. Like, zero running. And I know I got 10 in Florida. My girl put on 4 pounds. I know I put on more than that. I went to my ice cream shop quite a few times. You know what I'm saying? I had burgers.
The one that is by your crib, like 2 miles?
Oh, yeah. I had quite a few burgers. I had ribs. You know, I got heavy on the red meat, which is something we don't really do. We eat turkey and shit like that.
Yeah.
I was happy to come back. Let me tell you, I was sick, man. I was sick. You don't be as sick as me. I was sick, man. I'd be missing my foodie fit. It cuts so much. Like, you see, you still young and, like, trying shit out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to try new shit and, you know what I'm saying? I just, like, what works is fuel for me. You feel me? So, you don't have that. It's so much like options. So you get caught up in that. Like, yo, I'm hungry. What you want to eat? I mean, it's probably not hard for you. You don't got a girl at the moment, so you make your own decisions.
Word. Let me tell you, that was beautiful because driving back from Detroit, you know, because I drove from Chicago, same day turnaround. So me and my boy, we in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, I feel like he's an honorary TBV member. Ness in Chicago. Come link up with Ness. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, man, he made the drive with me to Detroit on the way back. We had all day. So probably like 5
p.m. Like, oh.
Yeah, it's like 5 p.m. all day. And so he's like, what do you want to eat? I'm like, it don't matter. Bro, literally first we saw, we stopped and ate. You know what I'm saying? It was
damn. Simple. What you mean first? Like what? Like
Little Caesars.
Okay.
Little
damn!
Caesars.
Yo, I was going to try some. I was a Little Caesars fan. I used to eat a whole fucking pie. But let me get back to boxing for a quick second. Go back to my screen shit because this is Exhibit B. And this is what makes Dan Rayfield look a little correct. One thing, shout out to Porter. This is why we got off track. That was an amazing moment for TBV, but I'm sure more of those will come.
Yeah. And this young guy here is the exact same to somebody that is. Do you say my name? When? Where? All right, let's go.
I'm like Candyman.
That quality right there.
So to give you some context and to kind of slow down the video so that we don't get flagged, Porter is, for his 100th episode, doing a live show. That's pretty fucking dope.
It's amazing. And let me tell you,
mm-hmm.
on top of Terrence Crawford, which will be, no question, the first bad Hall of Fame, and nobody in the boxing world can argue that.
Mm-hmm. And his look Game of Thrones-ish.
Sean Porter, yes, that was very player.
Fucking dope.
You need, when we do a live show, bro, you need you a throne.
Nah, that shit was looking too much. I was looking to the right and to the left like, all right, they got a nice looking red velvet chair, but Sean looked fucking... That shit looks so Game of Thrones. Watch Red Dragons. Is it Red Dragons? New Game of Thrones? The prequel? Fucking lying. Yeah, I watched HBO last Saturday. Y'all terrible. I can't believe y'all. How the fuck y'all ain't watching the Game of Thrones prequel? It's crazy, this generation. I swear. That's insane. Three people in this room that don't watch, like, the Game of Thrones. I don't know the name of it, but I definitely watched it. You tripping. Oh, shout out to JD. What up, baby?
John DeJohn. Owe me $1,000.
No,
John.
He don't.
Yeah, he do.
No, he don't.
It was a Mitty bet.
What? He bet you?
That he would beat Mitty.
What?
I screamed.
Oh, JD?
JD.
Oh, wow.
That's my guy. No knock on him, but you know, Mitty was pound
wait,
number one.
But wait, but y'all literally made the bet.
I screenshotted it. It was in the chat, though.
Why
you know?
You see, that's the problem right there.
This was 6 years ago.
Y'all know y'all supposed to do that with me. Like, we usually, you know, I'm not saying this. That's how it's always been done, like, in the past. But no, usually a person that wants to bet like that in two different states, his money. Jay said his money, the fight happened, and I would release it. You tripping.
I'm going to pull it up. My old phone.
Pull it up. I pull up on JD for $1,000.
Nah,
you kidding
me? Cool.
He's saying, what?
Exactly.
What?
That's why I'm going to pull it up on my old phone.
What? JD, man, I'll be on your ass. $1,000.
No, it's crazy.
Let me get back to Sean, man. Let me get back to Sean. Holy shit. Thousand, you got to get my shit. At least in payments, mom.
He said he bet 1,000 on Jacobs.
See what I'm saying? He known for betting 1,000.
Y'all don't know it, but y'all starve for that quality in a fighter.
And he ain't lying. I do starve for the fighter that's like, I'll fight him. You know what I'm saying? We don't really have that because the business always gets in the way.
When y'all talk about fighters and y'all talk about champions, a lot of them don't have that quality right there. To just say who, when, and where. Okay, cool. In this particular situation.
So here come the bombshell. Porter probably get in trouble for this, but he retired. So they, you know, what trouble could he, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Al would just be disappointed, but he ain't in trouble. But here come. It's a bombshell, bro. You ready?
He does have to say how much?
Yeah.
Because this is that level, that magnitude of a match where he has to say that much.
Yeah.
I never said that much. For me, it was just tell me who went and where, and I'm there. But for this one, specifically, because of what it is, y'all can't get mad at him for saying how much. No, come back to me when it's right.
See that?
Mm.
You ain't get it?
No. Play it again.
What
sorry.
The fuck is you doing on your phone?
I heard a knock that threw me off. My apologies.
We got Mr. Albert Bell here.
Okay. All right, give me one sec.
I didn't say that much.
Yeah.
I never said that much. For me, it was just tell me.
See,
who
see,
it's that level, that magnitude of a match where he has to say that much.
Yeah.
I never said that much. For me, it was just.
You see what he's talking about?
Mm.
He's saying this fight is of a fight of that magnitude where Terrence Crawford has to ask the people in question how much. I never had to ask how much because I just wanted to fight.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know why Sean acting like he ain't had no nemesis. He know it was his nemesis. But, and then he had WWE with Danny. So why he never asked how to take care of him?
Right.
But,
tell me when and where, and I'm there.
See?
But for this one,
I'm going to rewind.
For me, it was just tell me who went and where. It's that that level, that magnitude of a match where he had to say that much.
Yeah.
I never said that much. For me, it was just tell me who went and where and there. But this one specifically, because of what it is, y'all can't get mad at him for saying how much. No, come back to me when it's right. Will
he? No, come back to me when it's right. So what Dan is reporting, what everybody is reporting, everybody's been saying, is right. That Crawford is not satisfied. His guarantee hasn't been met. And, you know, the offer ain't right. And kind of Tim Smith said that what Crawford's going to want isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sean goes on to say, basically, I'm glad you did that. Let them get it right, and they will get it right. So let's see.
Of a match where he has to say that much.
Yeah.
I never said that much. For me, it was tell me who went there, and I'm there. But for this one, specifically because of what it is, y'all can't get mad at him for saying how much. No, come back to me when it's right. It will be right, and it's going to happen. All that being said,
it will be right, and it's going to happen. So he definitely has, you know, some optimism in that and believes that the team that he's dealt with for quite some time will get it right for Crawford and for us fight fans. But what do you believe? That is Exhibit B now. Is Dan looking more correct to you? Because now I got to show Exhibit C, which would be Terrence Crawford's tweet.
And we do have our first guest of the day in the building. So out there, but I don't know that it solidifies Dan's tweet. I think it helps make the argument that the fight will happen, but you know, I don't know that solidifies it with it happening November bust.
So Exhibit C is Crawford's tweet, which came hours after Dan's.
Okay.
Motherfuckers, MF. So motherfuckers just be talking, just to be talking, and have no idea what they talking about. Just want to feel important.
And just to be clear, that was not in response to Dan.
No. No, but fine.
No.
Come on.
Making sure.
The only one talking about Crawford, and all of a sudden Crawford responds. Like, so the last piece of evidence would be barbershop conversation.
Available is November 19th. You see, there's a break in between. This is the only date available at the Green Garden Arena. You say, what are you talking about? Next week is Thanksgiving, right? Andre Bocelli sells out instantly. Dre and I actually go see Andre Bocelli.
Once again, Fred from Barbershop Conversations. And this is him going through kind of what Danny did the other day. Going through the dates, the available venue. Just what can be done. And again, Rayfield himself says November or bust, meaning those December dates are not.
I mean, there is no December dates now.
Well, I guarantee you there's a December date for Tank. The fuck is you talking about?
No, well, in Las Vegas at the MGM?
Anywhere.
Well, I'm just saying,
anywhere.
Given that this fight had already, you know, they've been saying Vegas, MGM Grand, that's what he's referring to, that there is no
date. I bet
date.
You saying, is there, is, you tell me, is there not another 20,000-seat arena in Vegas? 20,000-seat whatever.
Well,
call,
MGM ain't
I don't want to label,
yeah.
I don't want to box myself into an arena.
Okay.
Call it whatever you like.
So it won't,
you know,
it won't
saying?
Be the MGM.
They
I'll
not
check stop
on Tank on December. I know.
But where, is. Though? It ain't Vegas.
Hopefully Atlanta.
If it's Ryan, it's more than likely in Vegas or L.A. Easy. Mm. Easy. And on pay-per-view.
Let's see.
And if it's something bigger than Ryan, like not bigger than Ryan, but like lesser than Ryan, then it'll be Brooklyn. Brooklyn!
So the T-Mobile is available December 10th.
Boom. There we go.
The T-Mobile. And when I say available, don't have a...
Poll. Let me get a poll.
It don't have...
On where he's fighting?
Nah. This poll is, do we have too many options on the wheel? All right. I love Danny's face. You should have did a zoom in. I'm telling you, we need cameras here, bro. The next studio, well, the next studio does have cameras everywhere.
Everywhere.
That's crazy. And lighting. Look at my ball.
We need to get the iPhones as cameras so we can actually zoom and stuff like that.
I know, but we need them PT cameras they got. Even though they upgrading. What's that?
Bell.
What you want, Bell? I'm waiting on y'all. I ain't the man.
Whenever
y'all ready. You got the
yeah, I mean, you were showing exhibits. You were showing exhibits.
Cousin Bo in the poll,
though. Yeah, so Bo beat the poll be up after the intermission.
I'm waiting on y'all.
We ready, Bo?
They could go about me and you.
Yeah,
hit the intermission button like this. Well, yeah. I never expected to turn it. Community, man. I appreciate y'all.
Info Joe, Los Angeles, in the building. Adrian, the proper role, the man from the frozen tundra.
King, straight out of Florida.
Liz Lowe, okay, in Georgia. Man.
You already know what it is. It's the queen, Martha K, Detroit, stand up.
David Maldonado, New York City. Yo, nuts. Don't cut me off, man. Don't cut me off.
King, I mean, if Essex catch me for them championship rounds.
Big Superman, Plainview, Texas.
Davidian and Buffalo, God bless you all.
In Jesus' name.
Without child, ain't nothing. Without the callers, ain't nothing.
Astro, TKO, San Diego, California.
Big Fish, Vegas, Palm Beach, Florida.
Detroit, the incredible, straight out the ATL.
Dave Benita, Uncle Alabama. It ain't hating, it's just the truth.
Show kid, Mount Vernon, New York, suckers.
SCS Corporation.
Coach Mide from London, UK.
Checking in from Tennessee, it's Lethal James, P-A-Y-N-D.
It's Lethal.
Line 6, Reed, we're spreading that boots gospel.
Word.
Mo from Bama.
Oh, yeah. I'm
station to the American dream.
King Four. Twin Heights, Brooklyn, you heard? More chicken wings and french fries, breakfast and champions. Let's get to it.
You are the
Welcome back. We're joined with Albert Bell, and you've also brought
Pop Javon Woodard Jr.
Pop Javon Woodard Jr. So you're a professional boxer as well?
Yes, sir.
All right. What's your record?
9-1, 8 knockouts.
All right. So I hear you're flying out of town Saturday, right?
Yes, sir. Fight week back home.
All right. So you was out here obviously getting ready for your fight.
Yes, sir. I've been out here for like 2 months training. You know what I mean? Training camp.
Vegas. How's it
vibes.
Been?
It's been good. Got good sparring. I think like everybody I boxed out here was undefeated.
Hmm.
28 no guys. Me and Devin boxed. How was that? It was good. It's like chess. We only did 4, so it was like
okay.
A lot of filling out, you know, painting traps and moving and. You know, I gotta ask you to compare to
yeah,
that Cambosos.
Yeah, you been in there with
Bo. Yeah.
You was the lead sparring partner for Cambosos.
For George. Well, like. With the Cambosos, I was, like, there to really, like, really do, like, multiple rounds and, like, really work. me and Devin, we just like, we basically just like, you know, finish out for 24. You know, I mean, it's hard to, when you like high level box to think defense, it's hard to really get real work in and full rounds when y'all just,
right,
just touching and feeling. Talk about some of the other work and talking about undefeated guys. I know I've seen pictures of you over at Silas's top ranked gym. You know, so talk about some of the work you've been able to get. Shout out to the guy, he's from Mexico. He only speak English, Brian Flores.
Okay.
He's like 28-0 from Mexico. He is pushing. He came and he just won't stop throwing bombs the whole time. I got a lot of rounds with Luis Feliciano.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw you and Luis, and he's 16-0.
Yeah, we was helping each other get ready because he had a fight like this past week. Sparred the Slovakian kid yesterday.
Oh, yo,
I think
we had him on the
Instagram
show.
Instagram is the White Gypsy.
Yeah, we had him on the show.
Ooh,
the bald kid.
The one that left Mayweather's?
We hadn't had White Gypsy on the show yet.
We did have White Gypsy on the show.
I
think he confusing him with the Lithuanian that went to Bones and left Mayweather's.
Nah, he's probably thinking of Lucas Worthy or whatever, but White Gypsy ain't been his age when he got here.
So we've only seen him.
I don't even remember no name.
You gotta see him.
My Gypsy, my bullet.
That picture still on your
bullet
out here. It was, you know, I mean, just some rounds, but I'm getting a lot of rounds and good work in. And we've been training alongside everybody, pushing each other.
Yeah,
Kenny, Shushu, Duke, Troy, Devin,
nice.
Pop, Nico, FA. We've been getting it in.
Cash flow
for sure, a little cash flow. Just pushing each other.
Now, obviously, you
real
don't,
quick.
Oh,
let me
ahead.
Jump in. So, where are you from, Pop? Because one of our loyal listeners just super chatted, and he said he went to high school with you, SCH alumni.
Oh yeah, in Atlanta, South Carolina.
Okay.
From Georgia.
So that's where you're from, Atlanta?
No, I'm originally from North Carolina. I grew up in Atlanta, though.
Okay. Well, you already got somebody to recognize.
Right.
So, how what you doing?
How'd you get into the sport? How did you come across Albert?
No, I got into the sport like one of them track kids. I used to just stay in everything, you know, always fighting. You know how, like, some people get to boxing because they bored. Like, I was going just wild. So my pops just went to the gym one day, and I fell in love. Like, I never left.
How old were you?
I was 9.
Okay. It's been in sport a minute.
Yeah, forever.
Okay. So how'd you come across Albert?
We got the mutual management.
Okay,
you know.
So you were sick as well.
Yeah.
Okay. What weight class?
122.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's your record again?
9-1-8 knockouts.
9-1-8 KOs, okay. You got anything cooking, anything? Actually,
yeah,
you on the undercard. Okay.
The
Huntington, right?
Huntington, yeah, Toledo,
third,
Ohio.
Huntington Center. Not your first headline, but your first arena, right? It's
first time headlining an arena.
Headlining an arena.
The last fight they had at the arena there was when Robert Easter
against
defended.
Comey.
He won the Comey fight. That was in Reading. Then he fought the what's his guy's name? Yeah, he made his first defense there. Made his first and second defense there. Matter of fact, he fought Shavakov there.
Shavakov, that's the
and he
that's
fought the
I
Ortiz guy there.
Okay. So that must be pretty exciting, given that Bunny came home to do that as a world champion. Obviously, you're working your way there, but what's it mean, to be able to headline right now, arena big fight back home?
I just show you, it's a testament to having my hometown behind me, you know what I mean, and putting on for the city or my way, you know what I mean? Like, real life, homegrown product of my city, one of their favorite sons there. So I'm just appreciative of all the support and, you know what I mean? To fight in front of the family, friends, and supporters and all that stuff and really show it, sell it out and do it big right
what's
there.
What's the capacity?
I think we're opening like 6,000-7,000 seats, but I think to get to like all the way, like full capacity, it's like 11 or 12.
Nice.
Like but it's like a chest trial, you know what I mean? Like, we want to see how this go because these are the convention centers that hold 3,000, 2,500 with some joints up. So we're the hardest time to graduate. Mm. Let's go across the street to the big joint. So, I mean, it's a test run, so we just hope it go good. You know what I mean?
How do you feel about the undercard?
I think it's lit. Yeah, it's lit. We got it's like 14 fights there too.
Okay.
So we got a lot of guys like from Cleveland on there, some Detroit fighters, some Columbus fighters. So like just around the area, like main event.
Okay.
And Pop right before him. Then you got Ronnie Hines, who's undefeated.
Okay.
He's fighting. He's fighting Craig
Did
Lewis.
He have a? Oh, word.
Yeah. Craig
that's
Lewis,
Wilder's most found partner.
Yeah,
they
he both
just knocked out. Man, motherfucker, he never been knocked out, and I had bet money that he wouldn't get another guy knocked out.
Oh, Zang, Zalio Zang.
Yeah,
so they fighting each other on there. Then we got a couple Chicago guys on there. Then we got like three guys from the Toledo that's popping our city, that's up and coming, that's undefeated. So it's like it's gonna be a nice card for sure.
And obviously for this fight right here, you got the WBO NABO super featherweight title once again. Just working your way up those rankings, looking for that title shot. How happy are you to be able to have that regional strap on the line?
Oh, that's dope. I mean, like,
yo,
I feel like
actually,
it's
you said you feel like it's necessary.
Yeah.
Now, I feel like you true testament. I want you to talk about, or how much can you talk about the importance of having those relationships with the sanctioning bodies, taking those trips to, you know, the conventions and just being at the events, because you're an independent fight. Well, not independent, but you're not with a major promoter.
No, I'm independent.
You know, so I know you
in your corner, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But, you know, you're an independent fighter still making it happen. So excuse me to talk about that because, I got to give you a close for that.
Yeah, it's just more, you know what I mean, breaking down doors. You know what I mean, when one door closes and another one open, but sometimes they ain't open. You gotta pick the lock and open it yourself. You know what I mean. So it's all about position. You know what I mean. But it's very important because that's the big promotions. It's relationships. You know what I mean. It ain't all about who the best fighter and this and that. So a lot of times it's not what you know, it's who you know. So you got to get in them rooms. You know what I mean, and interact with them guys and keep your name in their face. Type thing, you know what I mean? So if not, you'll just be keep winning and winning, but you ain't moving nowhere.
Right.
So it's all about positioning, and you know what I mean? That's what we're doing, and it's working.
It's definitely working, getting that opportunity. Now, wanted to ask, do you know who the last person that fought for that regional belt is? It was Lamont Rhodes Jr.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That was the fight before his opportunity to get the title shot against Jamel.
Okay. Okay.
So, you know, I tell fighters all because they think, oh, I'm not with a major promoter and ain't shit I could do.
Shakur won before too, didn't he? When he had to fight back like in Jersey?
Not this belt, no.
Oh, that was the WBO Intercontinental. Yeah. I know like Top Rank, they do like one of them before. Like it'd be the NABO, like the WBO. Maybe either one, you know, both look exact. They both like world titles, so I'll be forget which one is which. But yeah, it'd be important. Like I said, I'm high in the WBO rankings already, so with the belt, I ain't going to do nothing but boost and get me closer to the goal, you know what I mean? So.
Now, I know you fly out tomorrow
Saturday,
I'm sorry, and given that it is a homecoming, you know, you guys have been putting things together, so you're doing something with the baseball team back home, right?
Throwing out the
first pitch.
Yeah, the Tito Mud Hens. That's where the mud. That's where it come from. That saying, they'd be like, "Oh, we're from the mud," because our baseball team is called the Mud Hens. You know what I mean? But,
okay.
And that's representation of our city as well. It's like just the mud. So, boom. So that's big. I don't know any boxers that did it. You know what I mean? Even like the Devin Vargas, that was an Olympic captain, and Robert Easter was a world champion and stuff like that. I don't really remember. Nobody can throw the first pitch, so that's huge, amazing to me. I'm like definitely honored and looking forward to it. So that'd be Sunday.
Okay, yeah, definitely. Damn, I feel like that should be. You know, it don't matter what sports you play in. If you like that, you're gonna throw out the first pitch at the game.
For
you
sure,
know?
For sure.
So no, that's what's up. Do you know much about your opponent? I know you got a
veteran
in front of you.
Yeah, I watched
Nicholas Polanco.
Yeah, I watched him box twice. I couldn't find really no footage on him, but the fight I did see, I watched it twice so far. I ain't gonna lie, I watched it once fully all the way through, and the first time I just watched like two rounds. I'm like, okay, got it.
And what fight was that? Was that the Fortuna fight?
No, that was the guy, his last fight.
Okay.
His last fight, but I see, you know what I mean, I know he's a Dominican guy. I know their kind of styles. I trained around a lot of Dominican guys when I first turned pro, so I know their style, and I like seeing what I needed to see through him, but I know he is
what, he 20-2, never been knocked out. He fought Javier Fortuna when Javier Fortuna was Fortuna.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then get, you know I mean?
Went to decision.
Yeah, went to decision. So, and then his last fight, he could have won either way because I feel like that definitely could have been. He dropped the guy 2 times in that fight. And they gave the guy the nod. So he could have been 20-1. You know what I mean? But I'm just looking forward to doing what I got to do.
Now, I wanted to ask, because obviously you're facing a Dominican, and you just mentioned fighting Dominicans and training around Dominicans growing up. Did you get a chance to see Hector Luis Garcia, Dominican fighter, become world champion this past weekend?
Yeah, I tuned in probably like, because I was in the mall, so my phone kept losing service.
Oh, okay.
So I clicked, like when I clicked on it, was like the 5th round, and I remember they was like, they kept saying how Gutierrez wasn't fighting for real. Like, he was just letting him just do whatever. Then I see he came, try to come on strong towards the end, but it wasn't.
I don't know about wasn't fighting, but he just wasn't letting hands go.
Yeah, they said that's what I mean. Like, he said, like, he wasn't, like, letting his hands go at all. Then, like, the last 3 rounds, I seen he try to pick it up, but it wasn't.
You ain't getting no work with,
Nah, I don't really, like, be trying to box the guys that.
You might fight.
Yeah,
I mean,
might fight or try to fight. You know what I mean?
Full champ now.
Yeah, so I love to do that. I'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah, I got
as a fight, you mean?
I'll do that tomorrow.
Did you think he left? Probably left back home.
Oh, yeah, you know they going back home after they
No,
fight.
They deserve it.
Yeah, both of them.
Boy, yeah.
How'd you feel about Pueyo? You think he won? So I,
had I didn't really watch it. For real. I watched like the last couple of rounds, but
see,
my boy Kenny need that.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
We can do that on the same card.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Obviously, we saw Kenny Sunday. We saw Kenny. Yeah, Pueyo is. We saw Kenny Sunday, and he came out victorious, won the Intercontinental.
Yeah, I was there. I flew down there for it.
Yeah. So. Talk to us. I mean, because, shit, he in line. He calling for that fight. And, you know, Lil Birdie told me they even got some sparring in for this camp. And you know, I heard Kane look good. That's what I heard.
Most definitely.
For sure.
I wasn't there, I didn't see some footage, you know what I mean?
So, I know you going to pick Kenny. How you feel the fight? Like,
I don't know if I'll do it. That's my first time ever seeing him. Yeah, you know I mean, so I'm riding with the whole team, however it go, you know.
Either way, so
that would be dope to get you guys on the same card for a title shot
with both of them.
You know what I'm saying? The DR versus the Midwest.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Two Dominican guys going up against I.
Shout out to the DR, man.
Man,
you been out there?
No, I want to go. I'm about to go.
My man say, if you single and
yeah, my cousin's always going. He always like. Man, y'all want to go out of town and spend all that money in Vegas and Atlanta. Man, y'all go over here. Y'all got $300. You're going to have the time of your life.
That's
he always
go.
He's like, I'm going to kidnap you. Just go. So
yeah.
Like, bro, I'm telling you, DR,
nah,
like
it be like that.
It be like that.
I remember when I first went out there, man, my uncle, like, he had actually like 5 years to come with him. I'm like, man, I'm good.
Yo, not like shit. When my uncle used to go out the country, I used
he
to love it. I'd be in the hood, and I had a whip.
He had an old school motherfucking drop top M3 red guts, bro.
It was like
hard shell and
even
soul.
When I first turned pro, like when I was staying like in Florida, or they just always over there to box. They go like 3 wins and like Monday, Wednesday, Friday for freeze. And they just talk to me like, man, you got to come over there. Like, Amir Amman and Trevor Bryan and all. It's like, man, y'all got to come over here. Like, it's lit. Like, it's going out.
I can imagine Trevor Bryan.
Like,
Trevor Bryan got over there. Like, yo, they should be like
Dominic, Isaiah Thomas. I'm like, back when they was doing anything, like, they said me, I was a baby then. He was like, come on, you got to come over.
That's crazy because we went, like 4 or 5 years ago, we went to Miami for with Trevor Bryant, Amiri Mom, what was the other heavyweight?
That's a Nigerian dude. I never remember his name. It's like whatever. It's like with an O.
Nah, but then it was a heavyweight from Dallas too.
Greg Corbin.
But we was down in Miami with the camp time. Yeah, but Javon, man, how excited is it for you, man? Obviously, big arena fight under people's card. Like, how excited is that for you? And are you have people from Atlanta come up to the fight?
I'm happy with Eric to come from Atlanta, from Philly, Jersey, North Carolina. I got a lot of people flying.
Jersey?
Yeah. My pops from.
Is it a boxing gym in
Trenton? If it is not in Trenton, you know, it's gyms all through Jersey.
No,
Philly,
definitely
right,
around, yeah.
Philly, like,
around
Camden,
because
I was
Seven Gym is like North South Jersey.
South Jersey. Yeah, I was
in Philly down the street.
Yeah,
Philly right there. Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. When you said, I'm like, wait, is it a gym in that motherfucker? I don't know.
Yeah.
And how many rounds you going?
But Trenton.
Eight rounds.
So you originally from Trenton?
No, Dad.
Oh.
Yeah.
He just all up stuff. He from
I'd be everywhere, man.
Jersey, North Carolina, Philly, Atlanta.
Built the fan base.
People everywhere, man.
Yeah, no, that's good, man. That's not supposed to be. That's where you go fight. You put asses in. It's anywhere you fight.
That's
so what do you know about your opponent?
He fought Robert last.
Well, he's coming down because you won 22.
Yeah, he's originally.
They mean like 25, 26, yeah. Like on some catch joint.
Okay.
Yeah.
Martin Diaz.
Yeah, Martin Diaz. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So he coming back to Toledo for another fight.
Another
ass whooping. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and he a natural featherweight. Well, they got him listed as Super Bantam, but his last couple been feather. Okay. Yeah. So y'all meet the catchweight 8-pounder.
So you
how
watch
you
the tape?
That?
Did you watch the tape?
I don't even know if another tape on that.
I watched like 2-3 rounds.
Hmm. Were you at the fight?
I wasn't there. I was in Atlanta.
Okay. I'm just asking because, you know, like you said, your first schedule, eight rounder. Excuse me, your first schedule, 8-rounder, and
how'd you find his box, Ray? I couldn't find that shit.
Yeah, it's on the phone.
It's hard to find.
I get to you right now.
All I got to do is go to my name, then go to last.
Yeah.
That's how I found it, honestly.
Okay, yeah, because I was, what? I've been having.
No, he got like a lot of fights, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
tough guy.
I think
before I fought him, he won like three or four fights in a row.
Yeah, he ain't really been stopped before.
Yeah, he.
Too many times.
Yeah, no, he's a veteran for sure. Veteran. What, 33 fights, 32 fights?
Yeah.
So definitely a veteran. But any concern being with it being your first 8-rounder because you ain't been past 4 rounds.
Yeah, I ain't worried about that.
And that was like the beginning of your career. So
Yeah, that was like 3 years ago. My last 2-3 years have been all first, second round. But
all knockouts.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. What if the knockout don't come early?
Because Albert ain't knock him out. And he got the experience over you.
I was supposed to stop in the first round. They tweaked.
You know, styles make fights. You know, and I feel like,
or you just got more power.
I ain't gonna say that, but I know. You know, once
he
I
can
touch
have
him,
that.
I know once I touch him, like what's gonna happen.
Mm. No, dead ass though. Like, came on killing the guy, right? They about to stop it. So when I'm teeing off, they grab me and stopped the action like 2.5 minutes for tape coming off my glove.
Oh wow!
So now I come out killing him again. And then I'm smoking this dude, and the ref like, you gotta show me something. You got some. He keep doing it, but he like every time I see him do that, I just turn some more, trying to get the stop. He just kept asking, showing him. He ain't sure.
Damn.
I'm like, he can't do nothing. Stop this shit.
Yeah, he's tough though. But I'm looking, you know.
Broke his rib, I think.
Yeah, he ain't really got stopped before that many times.
He's
so
tough though. Horrible.
He got 183 round box.
He's definitely durable
and still fresh. 183, not bad.
I look forward to making it short night still though.
So
who's your trainer?
My trainer, I got Kenny, Coach Kenny out of North Carolina, and Adrian Russell in Atlanta.
Okay.
I'll be back and forth.
Okay.
So you out here sparring?
Yeah, for training, yeah.
You brought any of your trainers?
No, I've been working with his dad.
Okay. Working with my pop. You know what I mean? We're working with
Kenny.
And So. Who
super chat for my man Pop.
Okay.
SDX Renzi. Definitely a future champ.
Yeah, so.
No, he can fight. Sure. Yo, I gotta ask. So, the same shit I asked Albert. So, who you sparring? Because, you know, the top
was,
name.
Was that the only one that heard, I got an apple?
Nah,
you tripping.
He said, I got an axe.
I said, I got an ass, though.
Like,
said,
man, what?
You know what
I got an ass, though. Like,
what the fuck is the axe? My bad. No, I'm just saying.
Nah, but, yeah, what type of sparring you been getting out here, man?
Unfortunately, my first week, me and that fighter, Char,
yeah.
We just got like four.
Ooh, Canal.
We just got four rounds. You know, they get acclimated to the air. Like
how tall are you? He's taller. Was his height a problem or not?
Nah, it was good. It was like four rounds. So, you know, we got a good little four rounds.
Did you get some work with my man?
Who?
Brewer?
Sean Brewer? 22. Sean Brewer?
Nah, we were just in the... He sparred
the guy yesterday?
Bones Gym.
Shoe sparring.
I ain't work with him.
Yeah?
Damn. But we all meet up tomorrow. So
but Shushu way more experienced. The amateur experience is important.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? But... I would still like to see that.
You sparring tomorrow, too?
Y'all going to Top Rank.
Yeah, Top Rank. Friday.
You got the 2 o'clock.
Yeah, but that's at 11, you said, right?
It's early, like at 10.
Yeah, we get there. Usually, we be going on sparring days. We've been traveling and shit lately, but,
back to normal now.
Yeah, but
what
are you saying, though? Like,
oh, so you sparring right at 10?
Nah, not right at 10.
We're
going to be there.
We're going to bust like at 11, something like that.
Stay sharp.
Right.
At the same time, you know, I was in the gym with Dev. I'm in the gym with him.
Your first time out here?
Nah, I was out here like right before in No Fault.
Okay.
I was one of his spawn partners.
Who?
Nolito? Yeah.
Oh, shit. How was that?
It was great. Real great work.
First ballot Hall of Fame. No question.
Yeah,
but he gave you time, like, and what I mean by that is, like, he's kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's not an active, like, jabber, right?
Nah.
Exactly.
Nah. I learned a lot. He taught me a lot. He put me under his wing.
He done boxed a lot of people, though. Tell them all, like,
I've been there with a lot of dudes. I done been in there with Shakur. I done been in there with Tank, you know. I just got a couple rounds with Dev. I've been in there with a lot of dudes. I got a lot of experience. Gary Russell. I've been
Junior?
Around. Nah, I ain't get Junior. I got his brother. What's Antonio?
Antonio, okay. That's
what, the
120? No, that's the 118. The 18-pounder. Yeah, okay.
Is he hurt?
I don't know. He ain't really been active lately.
Exactly.
I think last time I seen him fight, who he fight? Payano, I think? I think that was the last time I seen him fight.
Pop, you get putting that work. How old are you?
26.
Oh, wow, you got this young face. I thought you was a little younger than that.
No, they be thinking that. Too much, baby.
He said not too much.
Mm-hmm. Too much.
So
what's your amateur background?
I'm 89 and 12.
Oh, wow. You know, I have a lot of fights.
101 total. You know, been in there. A lot of dudes. I got a lot of national championships. So I'm experienced.
Nice. So why no major? Caught up in the street?
You know, man. You know, I originally came out, like, out of the amateurs. I was going to do, like I said, I was with
Nolito first. Because that's a lot of fights and wins. Like, somebody would have been trying to sign you.
Yeah, but like I said, when
you
I first.
You had time with Floyd, didn't you, though, then?
Yeah, like, I did, like, a management deal with
DeJuan.
Yeah,
they were the promotion.
You know, I did it.
DeJuan.
Yeah.
Slowed you down, or he got you a fight?
Man, my pro debut was on the tank on the car.
Sweet.
You know.
Fun.
And bottom.
It was only one. I was at that car.
Yeah, good experience. I enjoyed the experience, you know, a lot of motivation.
Mm-hmm.
But I went, you know, I ain't really get active. They ain't push me.
After your release, nothing.
No, when I got released, went on the road, you know. We paid for a couple of slots, you know. To be on a couple shots.
Sure. How you supposed to?
Yeah, and I end up meeting Nick. And I paid him at first to be on the slot, and then he seen, like, the outcome. He seen the potential and everything, and he just took me under his wing. So I've been good since then. I've been busy.
Shout out to my boy.
When did you meet
Vic
Green?
I think, like, 2 years ago. Or, like, a year and a half ago. Like, right after COVID. Like, soon as they let us start fighting again, I got with him, and like I said, I've been busy. Got
to definitely shout Vic out, man.
Shout out him.
He keep his fighters active.
No, he do.
But
man.
Ronnie's not his fighter, though, right?
No, he's just
getting on the car because he's from Ohio.
Yeah, Cleveland.
Yeah, he showed love.
See, that's good on Vic.
Yeah, we
Like most of the guys,
I fuck with Ronnie,
even,
man.
Even like the
hurt,
guys
right?
from Toledo that's on there, like we're not even with Vic. We just, you know what I mean, putting
yeah,
them all
together.
Love.
That's what's up.
How you supposed
yeah.
to do it now?
For sure.
Yo, I got to ask, Albert, I saw you post a picture. Well, I saw a picture on the internet, and I'm going to be honest, there was, I guess, a bit of miscommunication behind the picture because I thought that you and Andy Vincent had got some sparring in. But it seems like you guys just ran across each other.
No, we just
in the
gym.
Gym.
It was like a big sparring meetup.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how's it going to
yeah.
be tomorrow?
Yep.
But I think he's fighting the southpaw or something like that.
Okay.
So he's getting all southpaw work.
Yeah, he's fighting the Puerto Rican.
Yeah. I'm hip. I know he fight. But, yeah, so he is getting his work. I was getting my work. We just all in there. It wasn't that. We just ran across each other. You know what I mean? Really chopped it face-to-face. And, you know what I mean? It's first time since. You know what I mean?
Since
we talked about Instagram and stuff like that mm-hmm. here and there. But that was our first time, like, really coming across each other and, like, talking and chopping it up.
Is that the first, like, past opponent that you came across, like, down the line? Like, you know, you fought somebody, then, you know, down the line, you run across them again, and...
I'm not 100% sure. I got to think. I know one guy I fought, like, early in my career, I was on his podcast. Like, he started a boxing podcast.
Oh.
Micah Branch. His name, Micah Branch.
Okay.
So he had me on his podcast and stuff and explained how the fight happened and all this other stuff.
How did that fight play out? I mean, obviously you were victorious.
Yeah.
But.
I fought him twice in the amateurs too.
Okay.
So what he was saying was boxing's so funny. So that's when I was with Tyson at the time.
Yeah.
So
Mike
was,
Tyson Promotions?
Yeah. That's why I signed to coming out the amateurs.
The amateurs, yeah.
So he had hit, I think, Henry Revolta.
Okay.
And was like, oh, I got my boy, Albert Bell. I like to, I mean, chance I want to fight under y'all too, my boy. Woo-woo. They came back to me like, this guy said, yeah, y'all fucking kick your ass. And Blase, you won't sign the contract. And he won the contract slot. I'm like, what? So we fought. And then we finally talked about it. He like, no, that's not how I quit. Like, I was telling them, like, you my boy. We used to fight the extras. I'm like, they came to me talking something
totally
good. They sauced it up.
Yeah, they sauced it.
Try to make it entertaining. Yeah,
but I don't know. I didn't, you know, boxing small though. So you
small world.
You be around people, but I don't really be paying like too much attention. Like, have I been? Well,
nah. Yo, speaking of Toledo though, I know you'll be tuned in Saturday night.
Yeah, man. I wanted to go for real. I wanted to shoot out, but I gotta throw the pitch out that Sunday, so I'll have to fly. I'll have to pack all my stuff and fly all them bags out there, then fly them out again. Then so I'm definitely gonna be tuned in though.
Jared Anderson.
I know. First co-main, right?
Yeah, co-main on ESPN. I've been fortunate.
Ain't co-main before?
He was
never co-main?
Biggest other thing was Wilder 300.
What about Lomachenko? What about the Lomachenko part? When he came out in that...
Chucky?
The pimp joint. The
all white fur joint?
Yeah.
I think that was...
I think that was nonetheless still you know, back, and this is fight since.
Yeah.
So first fight back, you know, longest live for his career. He's fighting some big motherfucker. He's big as hell. I seen the face off today.
No matter, he's gonna cook
it. Does your fight have to be at 130? Because that title. Been a minute since you've been at 130.
Exactly 130. Yeah.
Yeah, he fucking guy 21-2.
Wow, 2019.
Yeah, Andy.
Is it not going to be difficult?
Nah, I'm doing it. I shouldn't be. I'm just chopping down. I've been doing the right stuff. I've been on my gallons today. I just finished.
Who's cooking for you?
I got the guy out here, Chef Jody.
Okay.
He'll be with Ron Devin and all them.
Okay.
And, it's, you know, Jason?
Yeah.
It's Jason's older brother.
Okay, okay.
Cooking all their meals and stuff, so. But then when I go home, my chef that I usually use is going to be there. He's going to meet me.
Okay.
Because he's from Dayton, Ohio. He's going to come out here, but Jared Stoling from me.
Oh, yeah. What's his name? I just met him. Yeah, I was just chopping it. I was down there last week chopping it.
So, Jared and Jay Prince, they stole my chef. So, they got him down there in Houston living good and stuff. So, he can fly off a little old me. I mean.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, so no. I literally was just chopping it with him and shit. And
that's my guy. Yeah. Man. So, I mean, finish out here. I still got some meals and stuff.
So, the chef that's out here, JB, you said?
No, yeah. Jody. Chef Jody?
Yeah. He prepares your meals daily?
Yeah.
So
no, we do like every three-day basis.
Okay.
So,
okay.
We're doing it every 3 days. So,
do the job
like week.
Do you get the pick?
Not for real. I just tell him like stuff I like, what I don't eat, and what he, I mean, he catered to what
he likes. Yeah,
and then I've been drinking the gallons of water.
What's your normal breakfast like?
Some turkey bacon, egg and fruit. It is different than camp. I don't want to like the toast and bread and stuff. So
you know we have meat for breakfast?
Yeah.
For the protein?
Pause.
Yeah. Yeah. Because most fighters that I've talked to, they want carbs like an oatmeal.
Yeah, yeah. I don't eat oatmeal.
That's what I do.
Yeah, because, you know,
I don't eat oatmeal.
I try not to eat any. Not that I ever seen it or experienced, but I just always assume. You always assume that could happen. Like, you know what I'm saying? Get hit with that body shot, shit go wrong.
Well,
so
like,
I try not to eat like. No, just food in general. That's why I fuck with, you know, they usually say fuck with pasta or grits, you know, because it sticks to you. Exactly.
Yeah.
Or banana.
Yeah,
I always feel
banana.
Like that ain't enough for me.
Yeah, motherfucker eat a banana every day.
I always eat bananas.
I feel like that ain't enough, though. Like
I break mine down, though.
Yeah.
I break my banana.
Be whole with it.
Y'all funny.
Yo, man. Terrible, man.
Yo, y'all funny as hell.
You gotta break it up and shake it like dice before you eat it.
She said break it and shake it like dice.
Cut it up and slice it.
Man.
Yo, I gotta ask you, this is my last question, just because you brought up the dice. Y'all shooting crap or y'all shooting CeeLo?
I don't
gamble. Okay. The only reason I asked, because I'm from Chicago, we shoot craps, right?
Yeah, I shoot craps, we three.
But I kicked up from Cincinnati Cats, and that first time I seen CeeLo.
We heard it was
people, but from Cincinnati, and you know they could CeeLo.
It's harder
to cheat. I believe. That's how I feel. It's harder to cheat in three dice than it is in regular craps. Like, you know, people always like, trying to, like, it's people
snatch
always trying to
trick the
player.
You
know what I mean? They be trying to
three dice up.
They be trying to set the dice.
Like, where we from, you got to hit the wall. I hate people
that
just play.
They just throw it on the ground.
Yeah,
nah,
we don't play that.
We
don't play throw against the wall.
See? You just throw it. That shit,
but you
infinite roll.
You gotta shake, though.
I was at National. You know, we get Golden Glove National. You know, we get stipends. So all teams was
gambling all that money.
Like dead ass. Like in Ohio.
Yeah, I know them.
No, I'm saying it was like that. Like six, seven.
Nah,
like,
yo,
I'm talking
Cincinnati
about like
niggas.
Cincinnati, Cleveland. Like, bro, these dudes was like. Like these, like babies, like really meeting up in the back, having four
dice
games.
No, I believe
fighting,
it, bro.
All that.
Yo,
like,
I mean, I wasn't that young, but we was definitely in middle school. Yo, our passing period 3 minutes. We'll be late to class because we going to the
class.
We going to the bathroom to shoot dice and shit in between class.
The whole school, like, you just see like seven, eight people leave out of school and just make you know, like, oh, they about to go to dice game.
Skip class on dice game.
But I just never stayed. I just never got into it. Because I used to see, like, people's best friends used to be fighting over, like, a dollar. Like full-fledged fist fight.
Yo, in middle school, I used to see people get their ass whipped over
dollars.
Saying,
like every day. Like, if it's that game, it's going to be, like, two, three fights before, like,
yeah,
it's over.
I ain't
like,
never
nah,
really
I ain't
shot with my personal partner. I'd be like...
But see, they cut. They would have it off. Really.
Not my personal.
I don't like growing. You know, like, but, like, kids, man, they had that. Like, 15 through, like, 18.
I can get it.
Anybody. Like, they hitting. Like, they walk together. I'm like, they both bloody. Like, I got time for that.
Champ, I need to before we wrap up.
Nah, man. That is it. They both could definitely give up.
Do that.
I just followed you, you know what I mean, and give out social media if anybody isn't following you. Can
you know,
do so.
My Instagram, everything. Javon with a twin. JAVONWODARD. Yeah.
And
Mr. Bell.
Albert Prince Bell on Instagram, Albert Bell 49 on Twitter. I hardly get on there though, for real. I just be on there scrolling and liking stuff I ain't supposed to.
I feel you on that.
Facebook, Albert Prince Bell as well. You know what I mean? Next Saturday is lit. Be going up at the Huntington Center live from Toledo, Ohio.
Fight TV.
Streaming on Fight TV. You know what I mean? Get your tickets, buy it,
stream it.
Saturday, September 3rd, Albert Bell versus Nicholas Polanco for the WBO.
Oh, wow, there's no Saturday Sunday, right?
There is no hot snow.
Yeah, Andy's on Sunday.
Yeah, so
look at
all eyes on AB, man.
Yeah. Going through a live chat, man.
Nah,
yeah,
for sure,
a whole
for
bunch
sure.
of things dropping.
Yeah.
Make sure to tune in. Make sure to follow both Javon and Albert. Keep tuned, you know, keep up with them and their careers, and make sure to tune in next Saturday night, Fight TV.
We're gonna do a quick mention, take a picture of both these guys, have a sign on a signature wall, and we'll be right back.
Well, yeah. I never expected to turn out like this. Shout out to the community, man. I appreciate y'all.
Info Joe, Los Angeles, in the building. Adrian, the problem road, the man from the frozen tundra.
King, straight out of Florida.
Liz Lowe, Decatur, Georgia.
You already know what it is. It's the Queen, Martha K, Detroit. Stand up.
David Maldonado, New York City. Yo, nothing. Don't cut me off, man. Don't cut me off.
King, I mean the best. Catch me for the championship round.
Big Superman, Plainview, Texas.
Dominion and Buffalo. God bless you all.
In Jesus' name.
Without Chad, ain't nothing. Without the callers, it ain't nothing, man.
Back row, TKO, San Diego, California.
Big Fish Bay, Palm Beach, Florida.
Detroit, the incredible. Straight out the ATL.
Dave Benitez, Huntsville, Alabama. It ain't hating. It's just the truth.
Show kid, Mount Vernon, New York, suckers.
Coach Midday from London, UK.
Checking in from Tennessee is Lethal James, P-A-Y-N-D. It's Lethal.
Line 6, Reed, just spreading that boots gospel.
Both from Bama, only in America.
Well, I'm a true attestation to the American dream.
King Ford, Grand Heights, Brooklyn, you heard? Four chicken wings and french fries, breakfast and champions. Let's get to it.
JT, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Something like that.
Yo,
TVB, it's
Coach
J-Mac. Long to Louisiana, 504, baby.
What have you?
Hey, why? Hey.
California.
Like the video, subscribe to the channel, join YouTube members and Patreon.
This is the number one pound for pound and two division champion. Marvin, the Tank Furman, from Dallas, Texas.
Mr. D.C. L.B. Southern, from D.C. to Stunt City, Bond Squad.
Brandon Maurice, a.k.a. the AJ Trucker, straight out of Cincinnati, baby.
Matt Beck 100, U.S. Virgin Islands.
Chick Chickarelli, Hollywood, California.
Louis Reyes, Boston, Mass. Yo, drop that SDS shit,
This message was brought to you by SDS Promotion.
The voice of the people. There is no equal.
You can add Nestor Gibbs on Skype to be part of the conversation. TheBoxingWings.com.
As I always say, please make sure you push the thumbs up. Share this in every episode of the Boxing Voice Podcast. This is TBD for life. You ain't on Patreon. That's because you're stupid.
Court Stevenson undercard.
Beautiful.
against a 6-0 Puerto Rican upcoming prospect named Henry LeBron. And if you know me, I mean, early on in my career, I fought at 12-0, I fought an 8-0 undefeated fighter. I fought Eric Dillon in his prime when he was undefeated. So I fought Albert Bell when he was undefeated. So to me, undefeated is just, it's a record. It's important and whatnot in boxing, but I've never been scared to step up to the challenge. And I believe this is someone I should be able to beat. And in my mind, I got to beat someone at this level.
Why do you think you should be able to beat him?
Because I just feel I'm a better fighter overall. I just feel like I talk to myself mentally and I tell myself, Andy Vance is like, if you can't beat this motherfucker at this level, like, what do you expect at the next level, you know? And I've fought tough opposition, like you've mentioned, that, you know, I didn't get the decision, should have won, whatever the case is, but I've been in competitive, high-caliber fights. Looking back at Albert Bell, still hasn't lost. Looking back at Venado ever since he fought me, still hasn't lost.
And Venado's knocked off so many people.
He hit it hard, too.
Yeah, he got a tricky style. So I just feel like I should be able to put it all together.
And the John O'Carroll fight, too. I mean, John O'Carroll, he is not an easy fight for anybody.
Yeah. And he's active, bro. He's active.
Yeah, he's very active.
I don't mean active fights. I mean, like, activity. The motherfucker throws punches for the whole 10 or 12 rounds.
And let me tell you, for your fight with him, bro, he was in camp with Devin. Like, he was getting top quality work. Like, you, and that was still a fucking hell of a fight.
Yeah, I thought I'd be John O'Carroll, though. It was like my best performance out of all my losses I've had. So I was kind of disappointed about that. But going into this fight, there's not going to be a loss like, oh, you should have won. Nah, it's going to be that I win this fight or I fucking lose this. Like, I'm going to win this fight. And that's the mindset I have going in. Like, I'm not trying to come out of this fight like, oh, you should have won, but they didn't give it to you. Nah, like, that's really not how I'm trying to, like, even get past this fight.
I know you stay in the gym. But do you feel that you have enough time to prepare for this fight?
Oh, yeah. Me and my coach, we actually were picking up momentum. I mean, I've been in the gym ever since the Carroll fight. I believe I took a vacation in October. I've been in the gym ever since November. And we were actually picking up things hard because I was expected originally. I was hitting up Andy Ruiz to try to get on his undercard September 4th. I mean, I've been this guy that's like seeking opportunity, like, forcefully, like trying to make connections, make it happen. And Andy Ruiz hit me up on a message on Instagram, and they're such great people. I'm like, great atmosphere, opened the gym for me, invited me there to spar with one of the upcoming guys named Nika. Got in the rounds with them, like what they saw, and they're trying to put them on their undercard. So I hope the fight in September 4th, we start picking things up. And for one reason or another, the card is stacked. It's the Mexican-American card. I was really trying to get on that. For whatever reason, as soon as I saw that it was stacked, they weren't going to be able to make nothing happen, I right away like moved along. But ever since, I've been training super hard, so I just feel the timing of this was right. I was wanting to be in the ring before the end of the year. I haven't been in the ring since September last year, so it'll be a full year this coming September 23rd. And I feel things happen for a reason, so I'm just answering to the opportunities given to me.
Absolutely.
I was going to ask, given the layoff, are you kind of happy in a way because you're not – the youngest, like you've been in the game for a minute, to kind of give your body like a reset, you know, or do you feel that you need to stay active at this point in your career?
No, for sure. I want to be active. You know, I'm not getting younger. I'm getting older. I'm 31. I still feel I got it all. And I'm just grateful to have a coach who's in the gym grinding just like I am. You know, a lot of coaches, you know, have these boxers and whatnot, but my coach is putting in work just like I'm putting in work. He's out here in Vegas. We're going out to help Shakur sparring and whatnot. We got called for that. So, like, this is probably one of the most committed coaches that I have. Yeah.
So, y'all going to Houston?
Yeah, we're going to Houston.
He just left there. He was at Shakur.
Yeah,
September 4th,
week.
We're heading out there, and we're obviously taking my teammate, too, to get some work. So, however it's going to work out. But I'm definitely looking forward to getting in with the best. And see what I'm saying? Like, in my mind, I know, like, yo, if you've been in there with this guy, what – this guy ain't better than this guy. Like, just realistically speaking in boxing, like. So, yeah, man, I'm just staying focused and just being positive more than anything, believing in myself like I always have, and just, I haven't given up on myself to this point, so I'm just walking in this fight with a positive mindset.
Andy, I got to ask you, because
how long are you going to be in Houston?
We're out there September 4th. We leave, and we'll be out there all the way till September 14th. We're flying back, I believe, on Wednesday.
10 days.
Yeah, 10 days. Yeah.
Sweet.
So, yeah.
Damn, and then we got the Andy fight is Sunday, and Canelo
when we come back, my camp's closed. Like, I'm going to be starting my weight cut. Like,
damn, you come back midweek Canelo fight.
8 days before, 9 days before my fight, I believe. So, yeah, that's it for me. Once we're back, that's it.
Probably damn, take 9 days before your fight. Well, that's good. You know.
And when are you guys head to New Jersey?
To the fight. The fight's Friday the 23rd, so we have
I'm forgetting this, of course, fighting in New Jersey, going back home. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
It's only the second time in a potential?
Only the second time. First time as a world champion, though. He didn't even, when he became champion at featherweight, he didn't know what went on. So this is his first time.
Have you ever been in a fall in Jersey?
Nah, but I've been on Shakur's undercard with Fudge Wed, so honestly, I'm glad to be on his undercard, anyone's card, but, you know, what better than Shakur's, right? And being able to help him out in camp. So I'm looking forward to getting some work, too. So should be good, man.
That's what's up, man. Shout out to Top Rank, man. Hey.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people talk about different promoters, what they pay, what this, what that. At the end of the day, look, like, I'm thankful I was given an opportunity to sign on with Top Rank. Whether I was paid this or that, hey, this kid was given a dream, allowed himself to make some money, make a name for himself. So I got nothing bad to say about Top Rank or any other promoter that's built another fighter. You know, all these promoters, whatever their budget is, their budget. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of these fighters got to be thankful that they're even being offered these fights and given these opportunities. I feel like a lot of fighters say no to fights when at the end of the day, why are you in boxing if you're not trying to fight the best and you don't believe in yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with just bad business. You know, fighters come into this game, many of them haven't dropped out of school because, you know, you're so caught up in the amateurs that, you know, drop out to dedicate their life to the sport, and they just don't have education and the right people behind them. You know, people talk shit about Floyd. I'm sure you guys have seen the memes throughout the years that he can't read a book, but that motherfucker knows how to, you know, cash check. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? But he happened to have the right people behind him that was able to put him on game. Like, what type of education or what type of, I say it all the time on the show, there's literally no path for a boxer.
Yeah,
you gotta create your shit.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm blessed to have a very, you know, smart father and a smart mother, both from Mexico and whatnot, but really, whether they say who gives that advice to, so it really matters who you're around. And but I'll be honest, going into this fight, I mean, I'm not gonna say anything, but like, I'm not getting much for this fight, right? But I'm looking at it like opportunity. Like, yo, you need to win this to get back. Like, sometimes,
I mean, think about it like this, right? It's like you said, you heard the episode where I said y'all need to go and get some fights to get in the win column.
For
at least God gave you an opportunity where you don't got to pay out of pocket now.
For sure.
Whether it's not what you want,
correct.
At least you ain't coming out of pocket.
Correct.
And it's on TV. So it's a better opportunity than the one you were going to make for yourself.
Correct. It'll be streamed on ESPN Plus.
ESPN
and then it's
Plus,
for a Latino, I want to say a WBC Latino bell and whatnot.
Nice.
That's what God put in front. You can't deny that, you know? It's just like them inviting us to spar Shakur.
Yeah, I was gonna
ask
you.
Can't deny that, you know.
Who? How did that come about, Frank?
Yeah, I was talking to Frank, and
shout
he
out
told
to Frank, man.
Yeah, Frank's
man.
A cool dude.
Frank's a good dude.
Very good dude. Yeah, he's been close with me and Charles, and honestly, I knew Frank when I signed on Top Rank. He's been good people, along with all the matchmakers and everyone there. So honestly, they've been cool with me. I haven't had any issues.
I gotta ask I know right now you're getting back, you know, in the groove of things and whatnot, but like for you, when the opportunity came about, even if it's not been Shakur, even in the past, have you ever turned down sparring because you're like, no, I might fight him down the line?
I'm trying to think back.
Or how do you look at that? Because obviously you guys are in the same weight class. So, you know, you're in the sport ultimately to become a champion. Do you look at it like that, or have you ever looked at it like that? Like, nah, I can't spar you because you might fight
With Shakur, look, hey, I'm going to be straight up honest on here, bro. Like, with Shakur, like he's bad. He's a bad boxer. And like honestly, yeah, money talks and feels right, I'd fight him. But to be honest, I feel like there's so many other great fights for me to make other than Shakur. Like Shakur, you know, he's on to bigger and better things. I wish him the best, most success. If I did get a call and an opportunity, someone fell out and I had to fill in, they're offering me this much, well, shit, how can you deny it, right? But, like, I feel it's just better fights for me to be made in boxing, whether it's for a strap or not. Sometimes there's entertainment fights for some of these fighters, and I feel I'm one of those fighters. You got to look at my pedigree and my record with 3 losses. But there's a lot of fights people want to see me in with someone else, so I just feel like I'm on my own path, and he's done greater things and whatnot.
No,
I'm
going
to
sure.
get to great things, but... I'm gonna go my
route. Sure. And I just said Shakur, you know, like I said, because obviously you're heading out there and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, I think that is a conversation that we have sometimes where fighters may look at spar and be like,
yeah, I mean, Albert Bell just said it about Hector Garcia.
Yeah, Hector.
Maybe if he got a little momentum and one, maybe he goes on a four win streak, then maybe he might start feeling that way, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it changed. I mean, boxing's a game of highs and lows, bro. Sometimes
sure.
you're at your highest and then you're at your lowest.
I got to ask
trip.
You, for somebody, for me, and this from the outside looking in, I would say that you haven't had a bad career, right? You know, and when I say that opportunities, like fighters would die to be on an ESPN card.
Yep.
You get what I'm saying? So when I say that, that's what I mean. But looking back at everything you have gone through, and like you said, the highs and lows, what's been the biggest takeaway of the sport? Like, what's been the thing that the sport taught you just about life? Like, damn, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, boxing taught me this. Boxing may have maybe kicked my ass or something, but this is what I learned because of it.
I know this is going to sound corny, but I think a lot changed when I went to my coach and I met my coach. Just the way he talks about the sport and what he knows about the sport, about, you know, the highs and the lows of boxing. You could be at your highest, you could be at your lowest, and boxing's a humble man's sport. And I just feel like, you know, at one point in 2016, I won the WBC Continental Americas title against a 23-0 guy and whatnot. And I felt I was up top. I was top. I was riding that wave. And then after Bell, I had a little downward spiral. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's boxing's a trip. You really gotta fight against outside things in your life. And I think, you know, the big thing I took away and my career I could see in life is, and I know we hear it all the time. We just hear it as kids and like, oh, whatever, whatever that. Like, don't give up, bro. Like, keep working. Like, even though, like, at some point you're going to see some light. You're going to see something come out. And I think me as a fighter, I've been at that tunnel where I went a year and a half before I fought the Venado fight, and that was ridiculous. That was like, that time away was like, it was tough to, I was in the gym with him 5 days a week and whatnot, but with no fight, no activity for a year and a half. And then wow. I had that crazy ass war. And then I was out of the ring another year before I fought the Carroll fight. But it's been dealing with a lot of outside stuff, even with life, right? We got to make a living as us boxers. If we don't fight, we ain't getting paid. So we got to make ends meet some way or another. Thank God, you know, I got a supportive wife and a supportive family at home. But, I mean, hey, we're not rich. I'm just grinding my way, you know, from having my dad pump gas to go train when I used to train back in Stockton. I mean, it's been a long journey for me. But I would say the main thing I would take away in my life is, as I know I could succeed because I haven't given up. So I know in life outside of boxing, all I got to do is be persistent. That's one thing about me. I've always been, like, super persistent. To some people, it's, like, bugging, annoying, but I'll keep asking, like, hey, was there a possibility? Oh, okay, I'll check up on you next week. Hey, man, could I go to the gym and spar? And I'm just very persistent. Like, I'll just be banging on that door to see when it opens, if it does open. If not, I'll go to the next door.
For sure, man. Yeah. Shout out to you.
Appreciate
it. I think a lot of people don't know what it is to grind, and then nothing is given to you. Like, you're trying to make an opportunity for yourself, and I believe that's why it came. You know, you spoke it, like I said, to the universe, and answered, man. So, shout out. Now you got to get the win. You got to make it count.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm looking at this guy, bro. I've been trying to find out who's his man. I don't understand. Who is this kid? I've never heard of him, honestly.
Who's the 16-gold guy? I watched him a couple times, but after I looked at him once or twice, three times, I let my coach, he lives on the screen in the gym and in his house. So he's glued to the screen, and then I let him do his job. I trust in him as a coach. And
so, coach, talk to us. Walk us through that process. Cool. He, you know,
hey, he just cut my man.
I was holding back. I was holding back because I think that's also important. Talk to, what is that process like? He say he's seen a little bit of film. We hear fighters talk about that. Usually the trainers.
Most of them say they don't like to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. So for you, what is that process like?
I mean, like a lot of coaches say they don't watch film, you know, but with me, I like to watch film because you can see their habits, you can see their character in the ring, and you can just see a lot of stuff like what they do. And I've been watching his fights, and he pretty much does the same thing every fight, you know. I don't like to overwatch it, but I like to definitely watch it a few times, like a couple fights, and maybe watch the same. If I'm interested in one fight, I feel like the other guy is similar to us, I'll definitely tune into that. Maybe one fight does not mean nothing. I'll carry that one alone. So, but I definitely have to watch film and break it down.
Okay.
But boxing's kind of like Andy said, it's my life. So, I mean, that's what I do. So if I'm not in the gym, I'm watching film.
So are you more of a mental notes guy?
Yeah, I'm not like writing notes down on a piece of paper or anything like that. I'm just more like I'm more of a hands-on type of guy. So, and I, like he said, I like to train. So I just watch them like a fighter, you know, like how these guys just came out. They're both boys. I'll tell him he likes to do this. He likes to do
that. Yeah, but what's funny is when Tim do that, I know exactly.
A lot of our drills will be like me doing, kind of almost imitating what he likes to do, like how he likes to move around the ring. I don't want to give too much away, maybe watching this. But, you know, I'll do stuff where I know he'll look at me like, this what this fool does. He does do that. You know what I mean? So I think it's important. But
yeah,
again, it's important to kind of let go of that and just train hard. You don't want to focus too much on that stuff. So it's like a little thin line between that. Like some days I'll just come in and be like, look, we just got to work. It don't need to mimic nobody or anything like that. And just put the work.
I got you.
How much tape did you get? Or, you know,
I mean, he has a lot of fights on film. So I've been watching play like his last two fights that he had. That was act, you know, the last, definitely watched. That's what they say. So I've been watching his last fight pretty much a lot.
No, I was just asking because I think it's very interesting for the fighters. You know, I don't really take what they say because it's like, you know, if you're watching film and you saw something, are you really going to tell me? But, you know, I think with trainers, obviously, that's the typical answer. I let my trainer handle it.
Yeah.
And I find it interesting, man, because I've literally firsthand seen a world-class trainer sit down like it was movie time, fucking popcorn and his notebook.
Yeah,
and that's why I asked you, like, are you a mental notes guy? Do you
mental because,
you know?
I like to – I still like to box and get in there. So I'm just, like, picture if I'm fighting the guy.
I got you.
See what kind of style he is, see what habits he has, and then I just kind of let him know about him, about the habits he has, and then that's pretty much it. But like I said, I try
Andy, like, you should be able to beat this.
Yeah, and I feel like that he, like he says, we got to go out there and make this happen. You know what I mean? Like he said, like he has a couple losses that really weren't losses, but at the same time, we don't want nothing close. We're going in there to dominate.
I was
going to
say.
And that's our mindset.
Your last two were really, by split and majority. So, you know, you coming in as a B-side. You know, if it's a what is it, a 10-rounder?
It's an 8.
Ooh.
Yeah,
Ooh.
I know. So, like,
Tim, you ain't got time to play.
No, I know. I don't.
I'm thinking it's a 10-rounder.
I know. I was hoping that, too.
And he gets better as the time goes.
How do they do that with a belt?
Probably because the level of opposition he's fought. I mean,
I don't think
know.
He's been in a 10-rounder, though.
But I thought all belts is 10 or 12.
Yeah, I thought the regional ones was 10, but.
Sheesh.
I know. But you know what? Like, I feel like I can't go on there being reckless. Oh, man, I got to be this Madonna type fighter. Like, at the end of the day, I'm not one of those fighters that's able to go like that. I do got to start fast, find my rhythm as soon as I can. I think the first three rounds are going to be finding that. But I think round 4 through 8 have to be my golden rounds, a lot quicker than other fights. So, we're just working hard, and you know, my coach can only go through so much scenarios, so much stuff, and sparring to me is whatever. Whether I do good or sparring, have an off day, whatever, that it doesn't matter how you look at sparring. If you not do it the day of the fight, it don't fucking matter. who you're sparring, what's happening in sparring. Like, there's a lot of fighters. I was talking to Danny. There's a lot of fighters that look great in the gym, and when they go into the light, they kind of freeze. And there's a lot of fighters that are opposite. Right? They do both. They look great in the gym and great in the ring. And there's a lot of fighters that don't do good sparring ever. They get knocked out of crazy stuff and fight. So I think under the lights is when they perform best. I'll give a shout out to Bell looking at the top ranked gym when he was. I was like, damn, he's smooth. Like, fucking proud of myself. I was able to tap him and get to him like I did.
For sure.
Because he spars really smooth and whatnot. But see, I'm kind of the guy that looks good some days, rusty some days, but I don't let that bother me. I know when that moment comes, I'm gonna do what I'm told. I think my last fight, we trained the way we thought we were supposed to beat the guy and not get hit, and we did it, and we didn't get it, but I know I'll be able to do it.
I want
to
add into that, like, with Andy, I will say, like, what I like about him is, like, he truly loves to fight, you know what I mean? So, like when, you know, other people, other fighters, they're in the locker room, and I don't know, they might be a little quiet or whatever it is they feel like, maybe thinking about their family, and this deep for them, you know, they're getting in there to risk their life. With him, I really like that he loves to fight. Like that shit, like, excuse my language, but that stuff makes him feel good. Like, so, and like he said, I feel like he does good in sparring. He does do good in sparring, but he's one of those fighters that really looks a lot better when he fights. And you can't, that's the beauty of, that's good. That's what we want, so.
Andy, so do you have like a deviated septum or something? I'm hearing you breathing heavy as fuck over there.
What's up?
Like, I'm hearing you breathe heavy.
Oh, nah. My wife always clowns me. She says that, I breathe heavy when I eat. I breathe heavy.
You
got
to get it checked. It might be, did I pronounce it wrong? Because I pronounced everything wrong. But your wife seems to have understood.
Hey, but you could ask Coach. I ran 4 miles yesterday in under 25 minutes. So my breathing's there.
Sean Brewer had to get surgery. Yeah. You know, it's a thing for boxers.
I breathe heavy. Ever since you know, I breathe heavy. So, I don't know. It is to be a problem running or sparring. My breathing's been cool. My conditioning and my fights has always been great. I've never had a fight where, Andy was out of shape, was tired. I finished my fights well. So.
I guess I said it wrong, because as a fighter, I could see why you're taking it this way. Breathing, you automatically assume, I think you're out of your stamina. The actual breathing is noticeable. It may be.
You know what, though? I'm pretty bad allergies. Weather change sometimes.
Yeah, there's been so much of that out here lately.
Well, cool. I got another one to change the topic and kind of the whole tempo because I don't know how long. I've been following you for a while, obviously, and I remember everything. And I remember you guys posted about your Tesla.
Oh, yeah.
And I think. I don't know. Did you get, like, DM'd or people were harassing you? Because you was like, you made it seem like, yo, I bought this car, but that don't mean I'm balling. I just bought this car because it's the right move and it's economical for me. I'm like, who the fuck is he explaining himself to? That's your car.
Nah, I know. I just sometimes I validate myself to, like, you know, some of my close homies will be like, hey, man, why'd you get that? I'm like, hey, yo, like, I live out of nowhere. 40 minutes from Hollister, we got to drive over the hill. And honestly, it's credit to my wife. Like, she came up with the 10 racks to put down. And then after my last fight, I cleared it. But we got it because where we live, we really got to drive to get somewhere to make some paper. So, honestly, we bought it at a good time. I'm actually proud of the way we bought that car. We bought it in 2021, right before all the gas shot up. Just a basic model.
Right before
3.
The car shot up.
We locked that car in for 46, and we saw it selling right now. The same car, autopilot, all that, for like 55. So it was cool. Happy.
And they're only going to continue to shoot
they're
up.
They're only going to go up.
Yeah, yeah. So it was actually, you know, the car for training and for her job, it's awesome. It's really helping right now that I haven't had a fight. That's what I've been hopping in. So it's awesome.
Do you really save on gas, though?
You do. Well, look
how
it.
Much is the difference
but look
in the
it.
Gas?
Bro, no, it's a lot. Hey,
so guys,
no,
hold up.
You wasted
I drive, let me tell you guys. Nah. I drive to where I live, to San Jose and back, 3 hours a day. The math on it, on gas, is $500 a month. So you got to look at it like this. $500 a month, she or me not spending on gas, times 12.
That's Facts. Now,
5 years?
Okay, now.
Your car will pay itself in like 6 years.
That's 30 racks.
I was telling him.
30 racks.
You see my shit, I'm paying a motherfucker.
And I got extra solar panels, too, to get that tax credit.
Yo, so I wanted to ask you.
Extra solar panels? Oh, for the electricity.
Yeah, so our new home came with solar panels, and I got more. So because I noticed I was paying $250 on PG&E, I was like, "Hey, I don't want to pay PG&E." And they're like, "All right, add 24 pounds, and you ain't got a PG&E bill." It was cheaper to buy them than to pay PG&E. So I was like, "Why not just buy the panels for $140 a month?"
Yeah, but you thinking long term.
Well, yeah, I mean, but technically, even if I sell that house, I can sell them together, and whoever's gonna want to pick up those panels.
I just bought my house out here. I had to fucking pick up someone's panels.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but it was a contract.
But why wouldn't you? You know, it's cheaper than the PG&E, though.
I don't know. We'll see.
And at the end of the day, you're going
to own running my pool cleaner nonstop, and I just read it's supposed to be 8 hours a day. That motherfucker's been 24 hours a day since I moved in.
No, then that's going to run.
And let me tell you, so I was
supposed, the vacuum, too, not just the cleaner.
I was, I've been looking into the whole Teslas and shit, too, because, bro, like you said, these gas prices. Now, for me,
it's
dropping. Yo, it is, but still, like, I was in the military 7 years out here, so I had to make, the drive was never less than 50 minutes one way.
Yep.
Right? So where I live now, I made that drive the last year and a half, bro, an hour and 15 minutes. One way.
Is it all flat?
It is all flat. It is all flat. It is all flat. Like, I hit a few hills, but I mean, compared to what you guys have, it's baby hills, right? But, yo, like you were saying, I signed was economic.
That's
and everything.
Crazy.
And I spent $420 a month. That's I was spending more in gas, you know? And look, yo, how much do you pay to charge a Tesla? What, $12 maybe?
But that home house puts nothing.
But I'm saying, like, when you go to, like, a station.
When we go out and about, we need to charge. Honestly, we're only max putting like $7 just because we have it at home.
Yeah,
so
makes no sense. We just need to get home and charge it.
Yeah,
what am I going to
sure.
Why
but,
would I charge
okay,
a full bank? Plus, it takes long.
Nah, it's pretty fast. Honestly, we just charge
how
it for 5 minutes
if
we're a little low on juice and we need to make it back home.
Damn, five minutes?
Because we're not needing much.
So how many miles is
legit,
5 minutes?
Five minutes.
How many miles is 5 minutes getting you?
What is it, babe? 5 minutes is giving us, sometimes we just need the extra 30.
Okay.
30 miles and that's it. As soon as we make it home, boom, plug it in.
Yeah, 5 minutes, 30 miles, that's not bad. Fucking 30 miles on my Honda.
But it's a supercharger. Obviously, on the regular charger, I believe it's a little slower.
Yeah, I heard the supercharger you could get, depending on obviously
the
vehicle.
Oh, wow, you got
the supercharger. No, I mean the ones that we use.
Oh, I thought the car was supercharged. I'm like,
the one at the house, we have the NEMA 14 on an empty battery. Takes 5.5 hours when we sleep.
You go to sleep. So now let me ask you this. So if you go to sleep, what if you sleep for 7 hours? Is your bill still running?
No.
Or does
it just charge to the limit you want, and then that's it. From the phone, you can set how much you want to charge.
Oh, okay. Because that's what I was thinking. Like, okay, even if I have it at home, because let me tell you, I'm in love with this Cybertruck. I can't wait for this motherfucker to come out.
Hey, but they're not
I don't think it's coming out.
Big issue on that, though.
Why?
Because I thought you left your deposit?
I did leave my deposit.
I left my deposit, too.
What happened?
But when did you leave your deposit?
Not recently, bro. It was probably within the last 6 months. Definitely.
No, but there's people that left it years ago.
Yeah, I told him my old co-host, he lives in Brooklyn. He
and
left
so
it like 2 years ago.
They started refunding people because it's so backed up. Like, there's no way they're going to catch up. There's just so many people. But anyways, I heard it's going to take a while.
How much did you put down?
It was just a deposit of $200.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. $200, how much is the shit not going to cost? So how many people that put $200 down or that put a deposit down is not going to be able to afford the actual vehicle when it, you know what I'm saying?
No, I know. But what I'm saying is they started refunding. They started refunding back like you can't take the spot. We're so backed up. Like, here's your money back.
So you got a refund or not?
No, but I'm expecting it because from what I heard. And then good luck with the gas prices. I know you guys were saying they were low, but now they gave all these student loans. That's going to mess
up.
My
man's just giving out fucking free money. And
inflation's like, about to get worse.
And people don't understand what that shit does. I'm like, you fucking cocksuckers.
No, man. I might go back. I was just in Florida for like 10 days paying $3.20.
Oh, yeah. That's where everyone's moving to.
I got a house out there. I came here because of this fucking studio. And I'm like, I was paying almost $6 20 days ago, maybe 30 days ago. It's crazy. It went down.
You have a place out here too?
Yeah.
Damn.
Gotta work, man. Seven days a week, like a fighter, baby. And starting Monday, we twice a day. We're gonna be here and at the Wynn Casino
on the Strip.
So we hustle hard, man.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to fucking Robert Garcia's gym 2 months back, and
right here.
So we
go live at 6 a.m. at 9. Well,
we left like 8:30. Yeah, like 8:30.
Straight to Robert.
But no, I was gonna say we fucking stopped. So there's like a point where there's not many gas stations, and I kept telling him like, bro, fill up. He's like, bro, we like at 3/4. I'm like, nah, I hit you, but fill up, bro, because first of all, he ain't driving that course at the speed limits, you know.
But I'm not killing it.
No, he ain't killing it, but sure enough, we get there. You remember that shit was like $6.50 or $6.69 or something.
It was
damn near $7 on the way to California.
But because I listened to him, I didn't pay that. He made me like get it right before we get to California.
Got you. But I was telling him, I'm like, bro, and he's like, bro, what are you talking about? We like at 3/4. I'm like, I hear you, but. He thought Vegas was expensive. I'm like, just wait till we get to Cali.
It went down a little bit.
Huh?
It went down in Cali?
A little bit.
Oh, Walter, you guys made it though, right?
But during that time, good. You guys
went, Walter,
well,
your fucked up story. So if you're getting a Tesla to use it for road trips, nah. Like, don't get a Tesla.
I said that before.
No. Watch this. How many batteries you got?
On the car?
Yeah.
One.
Exactly. That's the minimum, bro. The new shit, they got shit with 4 batteries, which give you a longer.
The Cybertruck, yeah.
Bro,
I've literally seen
YouTube videos of people doing road trips.
No,
they got shit with 3 batteries, bro.
If you get the Cybertruck, you get any electric vehicle with 500 miles, you're straight. But I'm telling you, we have a little.
That's not even a road trip, 500.
No, I know, but we had a little experience. Decided to take the road trip to LA and whatnot. We're all pumped up. So obviously we're charging on the way. You know, we get there to like some food festival. It was a funny experience looking back. She's all laughing. So we're driving back and I don't know why. I was in the middle of the hills when you're getting out of LA. There ain't no charger. Battery's running low, right? So we use this app to find like
the slowest.
Oh, it took us 3 hours to get the mileage we needed to get to the super chart, bro. It was a fucked up day.
Oh, wow.
Hey, so, never again have I took that car on a road
so
trip.
So that's been my number one concern, truth be told.
Nah.
And then I, you know, because,
he tried to tell
because
me
the
other
cyber
people.
Truck, yeah, because of the Cybertruck, I start digging, just doing research just in general. So I'm like, okay, cool. Now they're saying when it does come out, it's going to have an option for 4 batteries. I know the most you could get now is 3, I think.
Get the most you can.
But I'm like, that's the only way, because I looked up videos of people doing road trips in their Tesla. And
so
I'm seeing
one full charge gets you how many miles?
264 on a full charge.
But that's,
man,
one battery.
That's fucking
less than
a car.
No, I know, but look at what you're paying compared to. So it depends how much you drive.
Bro,
live in the Bay Area.
They're getting y'all for like 60 miles. Honestly, in my bed, we were getting like 360 on a tank.
Yeah, I just drive pounds in back, hogs are back. If we do.
But I was telling him about road trips because he wanted to do a road trip electric car. And I'm thinking, can't you just map it? Can't you just map it? Where the
it's automatically when you put the address of your destination, it map out your whole route to the GPS. But I didn't put the address back home. It was my fuck up.
Oh, you went because you knew how to get there.
Damn. See, and I just went to Detroit last week, right? From Chicago, and I was driving, and I was, I got a rental, and I'm looking, and I really considered getting a fucking Tesla because I was
to rent a Tesla.
Yeah, because
you're crazy. And
bro,
it's like 250?
No, bro. That's
well,
what I'm
Toro,
saying.
You get it cheaper.
Yeah
bro.
Like 250,
no,
though.
No, it depends what you're getting, though, bro. Yeah. There was some Toro fucking Teslas for $70 a day.
Yeah.
But the problem is, that was my concern, is the fucking bad. I'm like, bro, then I'm driving through Michigan.
Then you went to Detroit. Like,
no.
A bunch of charging stations there.
No, in Detroit. But, bro, the whole fucking ride there is sticks. And then you got to understand, I smoke weed, bro. So I'm realizing, like, all right, cool. I'm going to drive through Indiana in a Tesla smelling like weed.
Yeah.
I'm going to drive through Michigan, another Republican state, in a Tesla.
You better
smelling like
in
weed.
A Tesla. Those cars don't get stopped.
Man, shit, you crazy.
How many times you been stopped being Tesla? Never. Look.
She did for speeding once.
Oh, wow. But they let you off. You're a girl. They let her off, right?
She's driving school is all good.
See? Yeah. They let her off. Do you know you can ask for a warning ticket? For those that don't know out there, if you ever get caught speeding, if you haven't obviously just gotten one like in the last 6 months, ask for a warning.
Warning?
Really? Get a warning. Yeah. Can't you just give me a warning, officer? And they legit print it out. It's a warning
ticket.
It's
okay to ask them then.
Oh, oh, absolutely.
I know.
It's absolutely okay.
I'll remember that.
But I think we don't have any more questions, Andy, but I do thank you for coming on, man. I'm very excited for this fight. I hope they put you on the line, man, because I'm looking at this guy and I'm feeling like you're right. You're supposed to beat this guy.
I should do what I got to do, but I'm trying to make a statement. And
you guys go to the
I have to be here in studio.
Yeah, I'll be there. If it was up to me, bro, I'd be at all the fights. I love.
If it was up to me, we'd both been studio for all the fights. Yeah. It's like people are searching, right? Like Andy Benson is fighting. They're looking on YouTube how to watch Andy, where to watch Andy. So we find we get the most subscribers on those days is the days that you're
really?
Available for the.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Like the fights, and mind you, we don't show shit. We're just sitting here just like we are now, but now we're watching it and we're talking about it.
Oh, shit, Andy just landed right.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Those are always the biggest shows, but so he don't want me to go. I love being at, so we try to find I only leave for like the bigger fights, you know.
Hey, so I got a question for you, Nesto. Mm-hmm. Remember that you're like, hey, you sometimes post your Tesla and you say this, that, who you talking to? Okay, let me ask you. You're a Gemini. Why you put all the factual stuff for people to know? You're telling them our secrets, bro.
Instagram is so crazy. Dude.
Hey, you like them, though.
I love them.
Real shit.
I found one, and a lot of people are not into astrology or whatever, but let me tell you, I went through a divorce. So I started following astrology, and it's just true. These characteristics... in our zodiac signs are fucking true. Like
I honestly,
Pisces are,
it's crazy.
They're like OCD. You know, they like having everything.
You got a girl right now?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
What's your girl's
Sagittarius?
When's her birthday?
19th of November.
Nah, so
Scorpio.
She's
Scorpio.
Scorpio,
that's right. She got a tattoo too.
So you want to know what's a trip? My wife's a Cancer, right?
Uh-huh.
I know he's going to start laughing. My coach is a Cancer.
Okay.
Clicks with them cool.
Yeah.
One of my best homies is another
Cancer.
And then a guy that I got that works on a boxing YouTube, he's a Cancer. I'm like, damn, I click with
Cancers.
Cancers, I don't know why. Complete opposite, though.
Bro, and let me tell you, when I looked up what our – I didn't even notice Cancer, though, because you're a Gemini.
I click good with
Cancers. Bro, Aries – and obviously Scorpio,
my mom,
it works. It works really well. Mm. You know, every now and then you can rock with a Pisces, but
my mom's a Scorpio, but we always used to fight when I was young.
Yeah, but
like,
I mean, you know, I'm talking relationship.
When you was young,
I'm talking relationship wise, you know. Yeah. So that's funny.
That's cool.
So fun.
Yeah, nah, I love posting that shit. I've come across one page and they send them all to me, and it be true though.
Some
of them don't
them,
though.
Like,
some of them don't. They make us look very emotional and shit. Like I don't think some of those be true. They act like we don't. I feel like I don't hide my emotion or my feelings, and some of them posts be acting like Geminis don't tell the truth about their feelings.
Oh nah, I think we're one of the most realist to say what we feel.
And forward,
right?
Blind like,
forward, there you
the
go.
Fuck,
but that's what gets us in trouble.
But
can
one
I
of those
say
pages
something,
I do follow
can I,
always ask that, like,
can
is
I say,
this true?
Can I say something? And I feel like as your friend, I could, I could. No, I'm saying because I'm thinking of how many Gemini men I know, and it's not many. And I know a childhood friend of mine who's a Gemini, and I feel like he's very blunt. But I feel like the shit that may hurt him the most, he keep inside of him, and that's the shit that he will deny and won't ever admit.
Oh, weird.
So, and I'm talking about the shit that, like, that hurt him the most. Like anything else, super straightforward, just like you, he ain't sugarcoating shit. But I feel like his soft spot, his Achilles heel, he'll never.
What's his Achilles heel?
I mean, Yeah, but no, I went like that because I hell no.
That's what
hell
I was thinking too. I was like, what's
no,
up?
Hell no.
I thought that was cold.
No, I was like, well,
hell,
I wouldn't want to talk about that.
Hell no.
I'd be embarrassed.
Nah,
yo, he's gonna be like, yo, why you did that when he asked you?
Nah, it's baby moms. It's baby moms. It's baby moms.
He's calling you up right now.
Nah. His baby moms. His baby moms, you know. His baby mother, you know. And it was a situation where he fucked up. But it's like, bro, you fucked up. Like, own up to this shit. He like, nah. But I'm like, nah, champ.
I think that's why I got into astrology, because it's like you want to know who you're getting with. And by knowing the characteristics of that person, even if it's generalized, it kind of gives you a heads up, man, you know. Mm-hmm. Everybody ain't for you, especially not in a relationship. You know?
True.
Let me, last question, now that we talk about relationships. How long before you guys lived together?
So I got with my wife when I graduated.
Wow.
Right after I graduated.
So wait, sweetheart.
Graduated what?
What
high, school?
High school love?
Yeah, in 2010 I graduated.
Oh my
so
God.
We got together in 2010.
Oh my God.
I graduated.
You guys have kids?
Nah,
no
kids.
Yo, I graduated eighth
wow,
grade.
Wow, because of the fighter's life? Or,
honestly, I would say for myself, she doesn't want, you know what? We love animals, though. She loves animals. Little
oh
puppies,
God.
Cats.
You guys want
cat,
dogs?
Well, no, we got two dogs and a cat, but
yeah,
you
guys
know
want
what?
Two
hey,
bulldogs?
I got two
hey,
of those
they're obese.
Dogs.
They're obese.
No, they're not.
They are obese.
No, they're not.
Hey,
bro.
No, you know what, though? But real
yo,
talk,
no,
this boxing
no.
game is selfish
mm-hmm.
to where I don't even have time with her. You know what I'm saying? We came out here for business, and she knows what it is. Like, we're busy. We're
mm-hmm.
running. We're training, like... There's no time, bro. I want to be there for my son. Like,
nah,
you know, I see a lot of.
So you want to have a kid when you retire?
Nah, I just want to have a kid when I have time.
That's what
you're
when
never
I have
gonna
time.
Have time.
If I'm bought, well, then I won't have a kid yet. For real, I just think right now we're.
You'll make time. Look at Earl.
But you know what? I know,
Look at
I
Earl.
Know, but you know.
Earl's three belts, and like you said, you were on the top of you when you got your belt. You were on the top, so he got the top of his belt, but
hey,
you find the time. Actually, those. Have reset him.
Yeah, just like financially got to be set,
of course,
too, right?
That's,
where,
that's
where
a
where income's consistent.
And not that, but I feel like especially right now with you as a fighter, as a man, you're able to take more risk.
Sure,
you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Oh,
like,
you're
know talking about. I guess you have a kid, like, fuck, am I going to be the same fighter?
Nah, bro, look, I'm going to tell you. I got out of the military. He told me to get out because I've been in a boxing game. I was in boxing 3.5 years. And still full-time military, getting check benefits, all that. But I felt that the military was holding me back. And I'm like, that's not what I'm passionate about.
Oh,
but let me tell you, though, if I had a kid, I don't know that I would have got out and just bet on myself.
Of the benefits?
And doing this. I mean, the benefits and just having, like, I knew every month, all right, cool. It don't matter if I go to work and sleep most nights because that's what I would do.
Oh, the security.
No, fuck security. I'm just talking about in the military, bro. It didn't matter. I knew, here, I got to work to get paid.
For
and
sure.
there, I just had to show up. And, you know, I'd do a couple things. I'm not saying I wouldn't, but I took the risk that had I had a kid, I don't know if I would have took
correct,
it.
Correct. And
I'm going to be honest. Had I had a spouse, I don't know if I would have took it because now it's like I'm not making a decision for one. I'm making a decision for two. And if you a good partner, you discussing those type of decisions with your spouse.
And I think that's the main thing. What he said is not having kids allows you to take these jumps and these risks with no fucks given. Like,
no, for sure.
And you know, especially when you got someone who's down with it too, like, hey, go for it. All right, let's go for it. Like, but it would be different with a kid.
No, for sure.
For
man.
Sure. I think everyone's life changes when that happens.
Wow. So she's been with you from the beginning of your boxing career.
Yeah, pretty much amateur.
Amateur everything.
When I turned pro all the way to, you know, before we got married, we were living together 2-3 years.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that's when you really find out a lot about each other.
Yeah,
for real,
that
for real. Hey,
I said that all the time.
That's, my mom always told me that, you know, when I was younger and I realized why she told me you really got to live with someone to see their habits.
Yes.
You know, it's the simple things that'll bother you. It's like, hey, why did you leave the laptop charge? The little tiny things will start.
Bro,
that's
just
bugged
me. But
you
know,
he's
right.
But these
that's
aren't
it.
Serious
that's...
relationships. I'm talking like 10
yeah.
years.
No,
right?
Of course.
So yeah, we got married in 2019, and
so why'd you guys wait? I'm just curious to get married.
I think it was just timing and money, and I mean, it ain't cheap to.
Right?
No,
it ain't
sure.
cheap. And then yeah, I think it was just timing and money. And luckily, you know, we were able to.
29. So before or after the Bell fight?
Right after the Bell fight.
Okay.
Yeah, right after the Bell fight, and I went on my honeymoon and whatnot, all that. But
where'd you go?
Went to where? Jamaica.
Oh,
I forget. Yeah,
nice.
Went to Jamaica.
Yeah, did you visit the grill?
Ocho Rios, where'd you guys go?
Nah, we went to, where was it? We were
Montego
saying?
Bay? Montego Bay?
Montego
yeah.
Bay, okay.
Yep.
Okay. You
rode
gotta,
the horses in the water and whatnot.
You gotta go to
the
grill. It's actually one of the most beautiful beaches in the world. You can Google it. It's a 7-mile beach.
No, well, I thought Bahamas was like.
No, Bahamas is beautiful.
Bahamas is like, has, I was like, damn, this water's, this sand,
yeah.
this water's crazy.
Yo, did you talk to Trump? Crazy. Did you talk to Trump at all? I'm just kidding.
Nah, but he had me winning, so I'm going to give him his credit. Hey, he's been involved in boxing with Don King.
No,
nah, so
sure,
like,
for
I mean,
sure.
he knows something, right?
Yeah, he knows
yeah,
a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah.
No, I'm just curious because of how unique and a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that was to fight in front of a former president.
I know. You know what? That's the only fight that makes me the maddest out of my whole career is like, how are you going to score rounds to a motherfucker that doesn't land punches? I don't understand. So like,
yeah.
hey, if these are boxing, man, no respect to any judges, like boxing judges, they, you don't know what's happening. What's, you guys got the best in the house to see it.
Yeah. I'll be honest, champ.
Do you think the refs truly have the best in the house?
Hey, I got my hand raised for that. And he switched it. I was like, oh, he even told me, hey, man, I don't know. You lost that fight.
That's crazy.
I was like, damn.
Man, I'm going to be honest.
Hey,
I
lost unanimous. It wasn't even close on that one. Look on the box rig.
That's crazy.
No, that one wasn't
yep, look on box rig right now.
No, majority.
Nope, unanimous.
I'm looking
the
at Carol. The box. I'm looking at it, champ.
The Carol majority? The
majority. It's 92 cards, 97-93, and then one.
But look, at 90, my cousin told me 97-93, bro. He goes, that means you could have dropped them, and those two judges still would have had you fucking losing.
Yeah, I mean,
so you know what I'm
crazy.
Saying?
No, I mean,
like,
yo, I mean, you're from fucking California. I don't care what you say. Jose Ramirez got his ass whooped by Josh Taylor last year. Had Josh Taylor not got those two knockdowns,
that
would have been. And let me tell you, that shit was across the
yeah,
motherfucking
yeah,
board.
Yeah,
114,
yeah.
112. So he
crazy.
Don't get those two knockdowns. That's a draw.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So, and I can't. I know we've
yeah.
had you for a minute. I can't let you leave. Yo, being from where you from, I've seen the post, Gabe Flores, you posted him with clown emojis over his face. That
really?
I know I know he's moved up to 35 and he's took some losses, but is that a fight that you want? Is that a fight that you think will do good regionally for you guys?
Danny, that's the question, huh?
When did that happen?
It's
out
there
now.
The picture's still up there. I just seen Gabe with a big-ass clown emoji. I'm damn, what happened?
Yeah. You know what? I feel I was asking for that fight. Everyone wanted to see that fight. I was asking for that fight. I feel at the biggest moment of his career and my career, that was maybe they could have looked at it like Andy hasn't fought; he's been stagnant. Like so, in their favor, probably the best moment they could have fought me, and in my moment, I felt was just the greatest moment to fight Gabe Jr. I used to train with Flores Sr. for many years. Flores Sr. Check out, nobody knows this. Flores Sr. caught me at 7-0, and I had. Or nine out on boxer, you could check 8 or 9 straight knockouts with for senior. The decision 60-0 was the decision. He got his son signed on, fell apart. It was kind of like I saw change. He was focused on his son and whatnot. And I had a fight in like 3 days. Long story, but anyways, I ended up playing with them. It was bad blood, and there's that rivalry there. But to be honest, I saw the kid his last fight, and now I can see why they didn't want to fight anytime soon. I really wish him the best. Like I said, boxing is a humble sport. I think we saw it at its peak. Humbleness to, geez, I mean, everything from leading up to the weigh-ins to the fight. Before the fight, I felt like, oh, I want to see him fucking get his ass beat. I think during the fight, I've been close with Lil G to where at a certain point, I fucking felt bad for him. I felt bad for him. We were really close. I'm talking about we were like roommates in hotels. We used to go to tournaments together. I was with Gabe Everett from New York.
Yeah, boxing struggle, man. That.
Yeah. We were all sleeping in the same room, making ends meet. So, honestly, I wish him the best. I don't think that fight is as hot now just because of the outcome of his last fight. I honestly think the kid should take some time off, kind of reevaluate his life, see if he really wants to do this, because that's one thing about this sport. You got to work hard.
Do you believe that?
No, but you think it's bro work? Because he in there sparring harder than the motherfucker.
You know what? I know little G and Gabe for a long time. I mean, I'll say it on here. Gabe Sr. used to always be on him to, you know, do more of this, do more of that. Hey, look at Andy. He's doing his fucking push-ups and you're fucking sitting down. Well, you got to do it like him, bro. He's fucking working his ass off. But he always used to break him down in the gym and, like, just be on him. I think, you know, he was number one at the world one time as an amateur at 126.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of success, bro. It was bad. He was good, but I think it just got to him, bro. So much success with me, so many knockouts. I got this figured out successfully when I switched ways and whatnot. But I knew, like, doing that style, doing the things I did, you got to work hard. I still work hard, but, like,
right.
I was working hard to master what I was doing with him and manage the distance. And I think a lot of my career has been on distance, and that was the big difference coming to Coach Charles was, like, this guy had me blocking with my hands. I was getting hit and sparring when I first came in. Like, I'd never been hit before. I was driving home questioning, like, holy fuck, like, this shit ain't for me. Like, I don't even know how to pair these blocks and do it. Like, this is crazy, slipping and rolling. That was one thing Gabe didn't believe in, a lot of that rolling and a lot of that upper body movement. But it's like Coach Charles says, like, these are aspects of the games. You got to be able to block a punch from a distance, slip if you have to, move if you have to. Because you don't know how your body's going to react in that given moment. You got to be able to do it all. As fucked up as it sounds and impossible as it may seem, you got to be able to do it all because, like, you don't know how your body's going to react.
No, for sure, champ. Well,
what was that?
He tried to catch it. Hold up, look at it. He tried to catch it, right?
Because he don't know how his body going to react.
Yeah. No, check it out. But look, what if he did catch it? Right? Why did he catch it? Because he's used to whatever get thrown to the catch, and that's how my coach taught me.
Reflexes.
You got to be able to, if a right hand comes at you, if you're in the moment to slip, you got to slip. You got to block, you got to block. But there should be no right or wrong way to do it. Like, you just got to react to it. He goes, I could teach you the moves, but at the end of the day, you got to train to react to it and just do it.
Mm.
So my sparring and trainings with this guy was, it was like, man, it was day and night, which is why I think, you know, Junior's been a certain way from 8 years old. Where is that now? Respectfully, I say it, but going somewhere else, I don't know if that's going to change him. He's been doing this since 8 years old to where is that now.
Yeah, but if he had as much success in the amateurs, right, and he was able to accomplish, you don't think with how young he is that he could come across?
Yeah, but I think too. a factor plays at the weight.
I mean,
Little
he just moved
a 126
up.
Pounder. Yeah, but he's a 126 pounder.
So you're saying he's too big?
He's way too big, man. I'm a 130 pounder. He moved to a 35. Like, come on, man. Like, there's no shortcuts in boxing. Like, if you want to be the best, Gabe.
But
you know what, Gabe?
Than you,
but
though.
You know what,
he's
Gabe
been...
Sr.? I fought at 141 when I met Gabe Sr. You know what he told me? He goes, hey, fuck that, bro. You can make 130. And I was like 20 years old. 19 years old at the time when I had first went to him as an amateur. I had met him a long time ago before we paired up as a pro. And I remember as an amateur, he told me, hey, motherfucker, look at Trinidad, look at De La Hoya, look at all these guys. They fucking weighed in. They fight at this weight, bro. It costs to be the boss, bro. You're not a 140 pounder. You can fucking make 130. You just got to die right, do this, do that. And he kind of gave me a little layout, like how to die a little better and whatnot. And I followed it. And sure enough, for the first time in my life, I started fighting back at 132 as an amateur. And ever since then, I went pro at 130. But he psychologically, like, programmed me to think and get down to the weight that I was supposed to be in. He psychologically mentored me a lot. Hey, I give Senior credit. I'll fucking shake his hand if I see him. And if he doesn't want to, well, then fuck you too. But, like, I'll shake his hand and give him his props. That fool really programmed me to be a certain way, think a certain way. And, hey, I thank him like that, just like I do all my coaches. It's been a journey and it's been a road and they all played a part. So, hey.
I think fighters and trainers both have to learn not to have grudges when you guys part ways, because it's happening more and more. Like, gone are the days where the fighter stays with his trainer from the beginning.
But you
like,
know what?
You
I never
barely
wanted
get to see
to leave
an amateur
trainer. Like, it wasn't like I wanted to be the trainer. It was like I was forced out. Yeah.
It's still just, even for Gabe, it's like you said, maybe right now it's time for another set of eyes.
It is.
You know what I'm saying?
No, for sure it is, but I think a lot of
and it shouldn't mean the end of the world for his father. Even if his father wasn't his father and he was just his trainer, if I got a part for the betterment of my career, you and I shouldn't be enemies just because I feel like I'm going to do
and
better
then,
with him.
And then think about it, too, like...
But you got to be willing to put your ego to the side.
I mean, yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's a big factor. A lot of people sometimes are, like, too egoistic and they can't, like...
That's true, man. That's
stubborn,
that's
like, you just can't change them. Mm-hmm. Like, and if that's the case, then that's where the block's going to be, you know? So,
no, absolutely. I just think that in today's day and age, like, think about it, right? You as a fighter, you want your resume to be as best as it can be, because the better your resume, you know, hypothetically, the better the paychecks, the better the opportunities, so on mm-hmm. and so forth. As a trainer, I wouldn't want to have a fucking fighter that I can't get on the winning, you know, on the winning path and shit like
you
that.
You know, one of my boys told me for fun, he goes, I was like, yeah, bro, if I don't win this fight, like, fuck, bro. Like, I don't know. Like, fuck. He goes, nah, bro, your career ain't over. He goes, if you don't win this fight, that's it, bro. There's the Flores fight. I started laughing. I was
like,
bro, relax.
It's true, and, though. It's dead. I was actually waiting for a minute because I'm feeling like if you win this fight, Top Rank can offer you, because he's still with Top Rank.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
So, oh, they let him go?
Yeah.
Nah, no. I'm hearing different stories. I've heard that one.
I talked to Top Rank. They told me they let him go.
Oh, it's official then. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I talked to a match. I don't know.
I don't know because he
was
James
nobody,
Prince.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's going. Does any other top rank? Any other top rank James Prince fighters got cut?
I don't know if he's cut, but Josh Greer ain't fought in a while.
Ooh, that is true.
Tyler McCreary ain't fought in a while.
Well, because I talked to Bruce and he kept kind of comparing me to Florio. I ain't nothing like him, so he told me they let him go.
Comparing you to Florio Senior?
Yeah, I don't know why. Because my kid's young, and he was just like. Not comparing, but I kind of felt that vibe. And
mm-hmm.
I was like, we not the same. So, and my boy's not like Gabe either. So,
right.
Yeah, I think what's different about him is.
I don't know, maybe because he's young, we came to Top Rank to mm-hmm. work out or something.
You know what I love about this guy? Is even at this level, though, even at what he knows, who he's mated, who he's coached, like, and I know he doesn't have a crazy resume like fucking Robert Garcia, but he keeps an open mind mm-hmm. to like constantly like, learn shit or add shit and go seek the best sparring and go seek the best work. And a lot of coaches lose that and, hey, you gotta come to me. You guys got to come to me. You guys got to come to me. Like, whatever happened in the days, like, where it was like motherfuckers were going to each other to get the work, that shit's
mm-hmm.
gone. People
yeah,
don't want to go get the work. People
nah,
are always like, you
know, I don't. Well, I mean, I know for you guys it's different because, I mean, you made it clear. Obviously, you're traveling, you know, to get work, but I ain't going to lie, bro. You, Top Rank tomorrow, Top Rank Wednesday. You go to Top Rank on sparring days. You got other gyms coming to Top Rank for
no,
that.
No, for sure, because they know this is where the work is.
I
enjoy like, ain't
too.
Nobody
you
trying
watch
to get
the
work.
Sparring and learn. Yeah. Sometimes I'll even watch the coaches in there.
You didn't bring your other fighter?
Nah, he stayed back. He
what?
He had a little thing with his grandma.
Hmm.
Like so she was in intensive care, so but he's coming with us to
Houston.
To Houston, and then
nice.
When I go back, he's gonna build. I talked to Bill. We're gonna spar Devin on Monday, I believe.
Like,
in the Bay Area.
You think
yeah,
sparring,
I was gonna say, they're
sparring,
in the Bay right now. They're
yeah,
in the Bay right
yeah.
now.
But didn't y'all say y'all put hands on him?
No, I never said that. I said it was we did good with him.
I feel like I feel like you made it clear that your boy did good with Devin. That's probably why they invited you back.
Oh yeah, me and Bill.
That up.
Yeah, no, me and Bill are great. Like cool. And, he likes football a lot. He helped us. I just got off the phone with him. Now he was like, our relationship's like organic. It's not
mm-hmm.
fake. We've been knowing each other for years, and Trouble did real good.
Wait, so when you guys
Monday.
Dev is out now?
That, yeah. No, that's what he's saying.
That's
what I'm saying. This Monday,
all this week coming up, like after the weekend, we're gonna be working with him.
Yeah, because Dev's that snack
out there in Sacramento.
No,
Hayward. I'm from there, from the Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
So it works out perfect.
How far? I was gonna ask how far is Hayward? That's the snack, right? Hayward,
Redwood City.
Sacramento.
It's like an hour away.
Okay.
Yeah, so we meet up with him, and it's like it's definitely work. It's a chess match because, I mean, my boys always wide looked up to him, but now it's like similar styles to go at it.
Have you guys have been down a snack? Yeah, obviously. the snack Andy's facility.
Big time, all the time.
So, well, I wanted to ask for you, do you notice those differences in the training facility? Because
he has more experience in this.
So can you speak on that? You know, obviously from the outside looking in, we see all the machinery and all the science, you know, behind the facility. Do you notice the benefits that it provides?
Yeah, I think when I fought on Shakur's undercard, when he fought Joet in Reno, I was using the hypoxic training to kind of adjust myself and whatnot. I mean, I didn't get tired. I felt fine. So, I mean, obviously it works. It got me adjusted to elevation. I felt normal fight night. I know a lot of my
was
coming,
at that fight.
Yeah, my coming was telling me, hey, you're going to feel a difference. Like, so we got to start hitting this. So we did the whole training at snack.
Was it Basil?
Yeah, Basil. Yep. Basil's my coming. That's my day one guy who's been with me since I've been 2-0, my first manager, and still with me now. But
Yo. I gotta ask, what happened with Peter Kahn?
I wanted to ask about Peter, too.
Hold up. But anyways, at snack, I think the main attribute at snack, who really is like the main guy, is Remy.
Oh, Remy
Korchemny.
Like
man.
And for those who don't know Coach Remy,
let's say he's an Olympic track coach, trains athletes. He trained runners like Mary Jones, and he's from Russia.
Yeah, I've been fortunate to watch Coach Remy at work, and I saw him do some fucking nuts. So I called it nuts because I couldn't even.
Yeah,
I'm just watching it, but it was some shit with the hurdles.
Mm. Oh yeah, yeah. I got the fastest time anybody's ever gotten there at anybody doing the hurdles. I set the world, that little world record.
Yeah, that's nice. I got
everyone they brought there, but I've trained with Golovkin, pulled muscles there. Like that training, not anybody can handle it.
Who have you seen train the hardest?
Devin was.
Yeah, I mean, I told Coach I was honest. I told him, hey man, that kid Devin, I know he's young. I know this, I know that. Like, I'm the one who fucking works hard. That motherfucker works hard too, beating me at everything. Some things I'm beating him at, but that's the guy who's like, I know a lot of people, oh yeah, he's giving this, he's giving that, but he works hard.
I mean,
very competitive at everything he's trying to beat. So that's,
it's funny. So he asked me earlier, he's like, hey, so I seen the podcast. So like, why do you say that Devin, you know what I'm saying? That nobody trained. And I told him, I'm like, man, it's a handful of guys that train like that. Like,
yeah,
these cats ain't training like
that. Yeah, I've been with them in the boxing gym, but I've been with them on the track multiple times. I've been with Vonis, Julian Williams, a lot of fighters. All the fighters, basically, they brought down the snack. Dimitris Andre, a bunch of fools.
Mm-hmm. Were you down there? I know Terrence was out there a couple months ago.
I wasn't down there. No, they got a little stricter when COVID happened. They're really strict about it. I guess Victor Conti is, like, vulnerable to get infected and whatnot. So they got hella locked down. Like, it's only certain people now.
Yeah,
super
I got
strict
you.
Now. But rolling back to your question, you know what? Charles showed me an interview. I feel the same way as some other guy who was on here explaining the situation. I was like, man, like, I feel the same way. Like, that's exactly how it was with Peter. I got nothing bad to say about Peter. As far as Peter, when I first met him, this is what I can say about Peter, that, hey, like, he's a good guy. Peter, when I got with him, basically every fight I had with Peter, he's increased my pay by, like, 2 times more every fucking time.
Mm.
Even the last fight was, like, it's good money. So I can't say Peter on the business side doesn't do his job. But I think coming out of the last fight that we had on Thriller pay-per-view, being the outcome and being the level of that, he just didn't have nothing to offer me that was valid moving forward that made sense. It was like some change, but it was like...
I think it just took too long.
But it was like, you know, like you got to see I'm coming off a loss. Need some momentum, whatnot, like... You know, I'm always fighting like top. I'm getting no momentum, right? Like this fight is 6-0. No, yeah, it's a top guy, but I could get some momentum from it.
I really believe
I can. But it was like some top tough Mexican for like little change all the way in Mexico. And I was honest to Peter. I was like, hey, bro, I'm a puncher. But what are the odds of me getting a decision down in Mexico. Like, and yeah, I just felt it was best. Peter's so busy though right now. Peter got his cash cow with Kambosos. He's busy. He got Xander. He got all these top guys. I just felt like I was a side hustle, you know, this little project on the side. And to be honest, I'm 31, and I don't got time to waste. I've been boxing since 14, and I just feel like at this
age. How long did you feel?
Well, the deal with Peter was after the last fight, I even shook Peter's hand in the locker room. I told him, hey, Peter, I don't want to go another year or more without fighting. Like, I can't do this, bro. We shook on it. He said, no more tune-ups, though. I said, cool, no more tune-ups. Just, I can't go a year. And then now that it was coming to September, I'm like, fuck, bro. Like, here comes the year. It's over. We're in August. It's done. It's a year.
So when did you and Peter split?
Oh, I hit him up about maybe a month and a half ago now. But I hit him up on a phone call.
You just split.
Yeah, I hit him up on a phone call respectfully. I said, hey, Peter, I just want to thank you as a fighter.
Wait, you didn't try to get on the Kambosos rematch card? That wasn't even a thought.
I was just done with it.
So there was no talks of you on the first one in June?
No, it wasn't. So that's why I was like, yo, I'm not going to try to. He knows I'm training. He knows I'm ready. Like, he knows what it is.
Was he still answering? Or was he one of those that stopped answering?
He was just not following up as he did when we first
kind of
at all.
Communication skills.
Yeah, like. It was just too busy.
Or maybe
the,
like you said.
I don't like to fight something that it's not happening. It's like, hey, it's all good, no hard feelings. Like, there's all. I just told myself, yo, bro, there's all these other fucking managers. Throw your dice somewhere else and fucking make it happen. Like, something will make sense somewhere else. And mm-hmm. I think Charles was dealing with my frustration a lot. Like, he was sitting at the gym. Like, hey, bro, you just want to fucking follow it? Yeah, bro, I'm ready to fight some of the streets just to get some experience. Like, I mean, it was getting pretty bad. Like, it's because I'm one of those fighters where, like, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do after boxing, to be honest. I told my wife, like,
you're training, right?
No, I know, but I carry, like, a lot of rage and stuff, bro, where it's like, these fights, like, they get it out of me, bro. I love to spar, I love to train.
But what about being a trainer?
No, I know. So I do that on the side right now. My coach is actually one of the people who got me into that. I one-on-one train people. That's kind of how I make my change to get by and whatnot. But yeah, man, I mean, I don't know if you guys know. In high school, even before I turned pro, I was always lacing up the gloves with no head or no mouthpiece. Like, I would take on anyone, any size, because I knew they didn't know boxing, right? I knew boxing. So I would get down with, like, all the football players in the Rose Garden Park by my high school, and we would just chunk it. The rule was whoever gave up. So whoever said, hey, I'm good, and I was in. I was always doing that, like, on a weekly. There's a fight on YouTube where I fought at the mall.
What?
I fought an MMA fighter who was, like, 200 pounds. You really got to look it up, though. I think I put, like, Andy Vance's Oakridge fight. It's, like, in a small hallway, and it's a good 10, 12-minute video of me and this dude going at it. He was a bigger guy and whatnot, and it's a long fight just because I knew this dude was, like, heavy puncher, so I needed him to get tired before I got him, and that's. Yeah, he gave up. He gave up, and I won $100. I thought I was hella happy off that. And I think at that moment, I realized, bro, I could do something with boxing. Like, maybe I could make some money and, like, try to do something, you know? So that's where I think it became realistic to me is when I was doing it for no money. I was
How old were you?
I was in high school. I was 16, 17.
Mm. No amateur fights.
No. Oh, I had an amateur fight. Okay. So that's what even was
that's
better.
What,
I was using them.
Your,
I was using them as sparring. To get ready for
he
the fight.
He said I was
too.
Using them as
fun. Yeah. So I was looking at it like, yo, dude, it's only going to help you. Like, you're going to get this adrenaline rush, this experience, different heights, different styles. They didn't even have styles, right? So it's hard to time like an awkward guy. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It just felt help me back when I was deep in the game.
I got to ask, and I don't know. I mean, at this point, obviously, your main focus is just getting back. But and not to look past.
Nah,
September
go ahead. I always think about stuff.
But yeah, bro, the John O'Carroll. Like, I remember you guys getting into it in the hotel lobby and shit. Like, the, you know, the week of the fight. I remember, like, Peter, you know, stepping in. There was some words exchanged. You clearly felt you won the fight. I'm gonna be honest. I was fucked up for that fight, so I don't remember it. But
But you watched.
I did watch the fight 1,000,000%.
But you weren't sober.
I was not, I was not.
So you could have saw something land.
But no, I just wanted to ask, is that a fight that, out of your three losses, is that the one that you would want to rematch the most, or do you have any interest in any rematch?
Yeah, for sure.
Just because of what you've said, that's the one fight that...
Yeah, I don't want to rematch that one. I want to get it back from me and Coach. Like, that was some BS. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Has he fought since?
Yeah, he has two wins overseas.
Yeah, but this is the
thing. Oh, but overseas.
Yeah, this overseas. The thing. It's like, yo, you beat me. Like, that's what I'm saying. A lot of fighters don't want to, like, step up, bro. I mean, I know the record's important and whatnot, but at some point, you got to realize, what are you doing this for? Like, are you doing this to be the best or just to have this little post of undefeated and this Instagram shit? And that's the thing now. Like, social media's changed a lot for boxing and a lot in our world today. And it's just like, you know, I grew up watching fighters like Eric Morales, Marco Antonio Barrera, Pacquiao, De La Hoya. Like, all these dudes were chunking it with everybody. Like, it didn't matter. It was like pure boxing, bro. I feel like that's when boxing was like, I don't know, it was at its prime, at its best. It was crazy. It was dope. I remember as a kid, it fucking inspired me when I seen Eric Morales. Bobby Peck, yo, the first time, it was dope. Watching at my grandma's house, all my uncles were all pumped up. Like,
so you don't feel like you have those fighters that get, you know, those young guys, those amateur fighters excited and hungry and, you know, getting them off the couch to see, like you, how you said Eric Morales got you excited and got you.
Yeah, they are, but there needs to be, like, more fighters willing to fucking just
take a risk.
When you're at that level, like, yo, are you trying to do this or are you trying to...
So let me ask you this. So not pound for pound, but just walking the talk. Who's in boxing doing that right now? Like, who is backing up what they're saying? Who is really about the life that they claim to be? Like, who do you see in boxing really representing that old school that you're talking about?
Probably your
boys. You know, I told you guys last time.
Well, probably his boys, good. Boots Ennis, he's tight. He's, you know what I like is that he, from what I've seen, is he's respectful. Like, yeah, he's talking, but he's not overdoing shit, but he's proving it. He's actions. But you know what? It's not even about, I think we got to even go to, like the middest level, right? The guys who are not there yet, like, who's fighting who and who's still fucking picking and choosing shit? Like, for example, like, I was asking for the Flores fight. Fucking never came. Bro, it made the most sense. Could have made some money for them. Could have gave us both an opportunity. Fuck, it didn't happen. Like, that's what I'm saying. There's these fights that these people want. And for one reason or another, they just don't happen. And that's why I feel like it's just different now. I understand boxing is business. But at the same time, if it's business and it makes sense.
Yeah, back home, everybody want to see that fight. I was always kind of like
crazy.
Whatever about it. But I get DMs
everywhere
all the time.
I walked with no fight announcement. Hey, bro, where you fighting Flores Jr.? I'm like, oh, relax, man. Like, everywhere I go.
No,
everywhere
I go. I mean,
even here in Vegas. Hey, bro, when you fighting Flores Jr.? I'm
Didn't he used to headline in Reno?
Not Reno. Stockton.
Yeah.
Where he's from.
Hmm.
So how far is that from you?
Oh, I'm fine in Stockton.
No, I'm just saying, but you guys could do I'm saying
we'll do it. Fresno, where Ramirez is from, neutral grounds, you know what I mean?
Okay.
I'll get down right there, but yeah, I ain't going to Stockton.
No.
I'm lucky to get out of line.
No, I was just asking, you know, cuz I'm not too familiar with the, you know, Bay Area, Northern California, you know.
It's all right by each other,
you know,
an hour or something.
Nah, we're still in Northern California, but it's just I think the whole conversation of me being in San Jose and then from there like
No, for sure. I'm just trying to think where that fight could take place. But you said Fresno.
Fresno's
so.
Neutral grounds, bro.
Fresno.
Yeah, it's just, yeah.
Okay.
I was getting a lot of messages, crazy messages. Like, because I never talked bad about the city, but I guess, you know, since it was a conversation, they take it like city to city. I was getting threat messages like left and right. Like, and I didn't care, right? But it was like, damn, I can't ever go. I haven't even been over there since I trained over there. I haven't.
Mm.
I've never gone over there.
Mm.
Better
the only
say
time I did go
sorry.
The only time I did go over there for a boxing show, I went to a boxing show over there, and we had to leave because it was like people were starting to plot us and like wait for this event to be over, maybe catch us outside. So we just bounced.
Crazy. Hopefully, you know, one day the fight does make sense, and you know, the fight can happen.
That's probably
happen.
Why they ain't make the fight. I mean, that's what Tank and Tevin, you know.
Yeah,
what?
No, I mean, get what you're saying. Yeah,
they're fighting that city if those two fall.
No, and it's crazy because we just had, right before you, we had Javon Witta Jr., who he said he made his pro debut on that Tank card in Baltimore, which I was at. And let me tell you, I was there the whole fight week, and they're telling me, they're like, Oh, yeah, yeah. No, we got the best seat in the house. I had like 3-4 people telling me, like, yeah, we got the best seat in the house. I'm like, yeah, what you got? Ringside? No, my couch. They're like, hell no, boy, it's going to be a big-ass shooting after the fight. Just wait. Just wait. Big-ass shooting, right? So I'm hearing this shit 2 days. Now, the third day is fight day, right?
Right.
I go, I'm staying right across the street from the arena. That morning, I go to the Starbucks, which is on the other side. I saw Tank get his fucking Rolls Royce, his bulletproof Rolls Royce unloaded. And I'm like, holy shit. They're really taking all precautions for this event. So some people, I feel like maybe in that situation with that hate where they actually have altercations.
Philly and Baltimore, it would definitely go
down. But I'm saying, and they even had altercations, you know, where they ran into each other and there was like beef. Mm-hmm. And so maybe there has been a situation where they don't do a fight because of those worries.
Yeah, I think being a fan from a city who reps your city, you're diehard, you're gangbanger, whatever.
That's
you're taking this shit to heart, taking it personal. And
yeah,
some people can't take that loss and see that their city lost to another city. All is fucking swamp. No.
Yo, and let me tell you, I say it all
the
time.
But at
the
end of the day, we're just athletes. It's just athletes.
We're just performing. But let me tell you, I say it all the time. It's even more so with the Latinos.
Yeah.
Bro, it don't fucking, oh my goodness, bro. It don't fucking matter. Let me tell you, go to a fight and get there when, you know, the first or second fight of the evening is. It could be an Olympian going up against a Mexican. They just hear Garcia, Martinez.
And a flag.
And a
that's
flag.
It.
That's it, bro.
That's it. You stole the ring.
That's it. You know, that's it. They're super proud, super, you know.
Yeah.
So.
But I mean, I'm blessed to be. My family, my mom and dad from Mexico, me being a Mexican-American, because I feel like Mexican people, even if they're broke as fuck, they'll find a way to go to a fight.
Hmm.
They'll sleep in one hotel room all together. They'll be like, let's go. I'll get the cheap ticket. My mom.
Yeah, no, for sure. Man, for sure. That's for sure, man. But you got anything else, Ness, before we wrap up?
Nah, man, that's everything.
Well, Coach Andy, definitely give out the social media. Give, you know, people an opportunity to keep up with you guys. And keep an eye out
Coach,
what happened.
He's like,
Andy, I'm like, oh,
you know they hacked him.
I thought you made a new one, Coach.
I did.
Yeah, but
I'm like,
it don't hit the same.
No,
he had
110,000. No, I was just gonna ask because I'm like, if you didn't, I just followed a fake account because I'm serious. I'm like, you got hacked once. Maybe they.
One too.
Yeah, because I'm like, I definitely followed your new one. So, but go ahead, Coach.
It's one team trouble.
And that's the number one, correct? So the number one, Team Trouble. So, and Andy,
it's going to be Wudong Ventus 1. So,
all right. We'll be right back. We'll take a quick intermission and be right back.
All
right.
Big Fish Bank, Palm Beach, Florida. Treat the incredible, straight out the ATL. Dave Benita, Huntsville, Alabama. It ain't hating, it's just the truth.
Show Kid, Mount Vernon, New York, suckers.
SCS
Corrections. Coach Mide from London, UK. Checking in from Tennessee, it's Lethal James, PAYED. It's Lethal.
Line 6, read. We're spreading that boots gospel.
Both from them, only in America.
But I'm a true attestation to the American dream.
King Moore, Grand Heights, Brooklyn. You heard? Four chicken wings and french fries, breakfast and champions. Let's get to it.
JT, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Something like that. Louisiana, 504, baby.
What happened?
California.
Like the video, subscribe to the channel, join YouTube member and Patreon.
This is number one pound pound and division champion, Marvin the Tank Furman from Dallas, Texas.
Mr. LB Southern from DC to Stunt City, Bomb Squad.
Brandon Maurice, aka the ATL Trucker, straight out of Cincinnati, baby.
Matt 100, U.S. Virgin Islands.
Chick Chickarelli, Hollywood, California.
Louis Reyes, Boston, Mass. Yo, drop that SDS shit,
This message was brought to you by SDS Promotion.
The voice of the people, there is no equal.
You can add Nestor Gibbs on Skype to be part of the conversation.
As always say, please make sure you push the thumbs up. Share this in every episode of the Boxing Boys Podcast. This is TBD in life. You ain't on Patreon. Let's go.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Bo, what's Blog Talk saying? Uh-oh, we got some callers.
Good. Yeah, they hadn't raised their hand, though.
If you're on Blog Talk and you want to speak, you know all you got to do is hit that number one button, and that's going to indicate to us that you're ready to rock and roll. Matt Bet 100 with the $5 Super Chat says, Tank beats everybody. Shakur gets upset. Danny has a Netflix show. M.O. Amer? Mo Amer? I don't know what that is, bro. Jordan with the fat $20 super chat. Shout out to Jordan, who is pound for pound. We're going to send Jordan two gloves, autographed gloves, one of our many, many guests, or rather more than one, many, many guests, because you know, two autographed gloves, because he's a pound for pound. And he's, I think you get like six gloves a year or something like that for pound for pound status. David H. 199 says, all y'all please say 1, 2, 3. Man down. Spence Buds. Yeah, well, we're hoping that that fight happens, man. I really hope that they can just go ahead and announce that fight before more time is wasted. But that being said, I think I'm going to pick Pedraza, yo. How about you, Bo? What's that line looking like?
Pedraza is minus money. Comey, they got him at plus
money. So he is the favorite.
Right.
Nice. So I was spot on with that pick.
I'm riding with Pedraza as well.
Damn, he almost a three. He is a 3-1.
But you know what I'm saying? The poll, they think Comey going to knock him out.
And people get caught up with the puncher bullshit. Can he fight, though?
He can fight, but I don't think his footwork is good enough to keep up with a Pedraza. Pedraza
move, but he be getting hit any light skin. Homie be showing him.
Whoa. Don't do that, bro.
Nah, he showed the bruises.
Michael light skin.
No, I know, but he showed the bruises.
Okay. But we talking about scoring and you know what I'm saying?
And that's the thing. Judges see them bruises and they score differently. But that is all Super Chat. Uh-oh. 716. That's
two of them. Don't miss.
No, one is Davidian, 359.
Yeah.
Yeah, Davidian, Buffalo. Four.
I'm happy, strong, and about to knock Spence out in Jesus' name. I'm bringing the whole church.
SBS promotion.
You win some, you lose some. But you live the light of the day.
I got the whole Christian congregation behind me.
TheBoxingVoice.com.
In Jesus' name.
And we all know God only made one thing perfect, and that's my boxing ring.
Yo, 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 what's up, TBV? Yo, can you hear me all right?
No Davidian.
No? Can you?
And that, well, yeah, that does it. And that's GTO, Instagram and Twitter. I love you, but I got to go.
BoMason_TBV on IG. That's where
this
I be.
This Colmay first fight at 140.
You still alive?
I hit it now. It's ending.
Because I didn't know if you was asking me for the show or asking me.
Yeah, nah, that's all good. I was just reading Big Fish Vega.
I'm ending episode.